United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon. The show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And you are here 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock. And today is the 1st of April. It looks like it's going to be a beautiful day here in Northeast Ohio. It looks like it's going to be like 70 degrees, and I'm excited to hear about that because, you know, I need sun. I need sun, and I need for you to call me today. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. Now, listen, I want to know if I should be playing April Fool's jokes here in the studio. So if I should, they need to call me and tell me yes. I'm not a big jokester like that. So if you have any suggestions that we can play on a couple people a day, please. Or if you have stories about a good April Fool's joke that has been played or you've seen it being played in the past, you need to call us and let us know. Because today is the day that we can do that, and I'm kind of excited about it because I'm still a kid at heart, whether you know that or not. What else is going on today? Today in the state of Ohio, if you are here today, you can vote. You can go to the Board of Elections from, I think, 8:30 to 4:30, and you can walk in and you can vote in the primary today. And so if you want to request a ballot, you can request a ballot and say, listen, I want to have a ballot sent to my house, and you can vote from home. You do not have to have a reason to vote from home. All you have to do is say that I want you to mail me a ballot, and they will gladly mail a ballot to you. So I want you to put that on your radar also. And that's here in the state of Ohio. During this primary season, you will have 35 days to vote. And coming in, I believe, in the fall, I think there's only 30 days. They took out those 5 days. And it took out those 5 days not to limit your access to the ballot, but because we were not able to check, as we should, your residency and make sure that all of the requirements were in when you come to vote. So if you came in and you wanted to register and vote, you could do it in the same day. And that's not a good mechanism for a good outcome of democracy and or making sure that we have elections that are not only just fair, but they are, you want them to be efficient. You want them to be accurate to the best of our ability. And as things are changing, even though we're automating, we still have a lot of people that are working inside of the political system, inside of the election system, should I say, that are doing a lot of things by hand and checking signatures and checking residences and making sure. And there are people who still use empty lots to register to vote. You need to understand that. And everybody says that, you know, well, we're trying to suppress the vote, you know, and Republicans are this and Republicans are that. And I'm here just to tell you that it's not about the suppression of the vote. It's about the actual fairness of the vote and making sure that you have access to the ballot and to make sure that it is accurate, it is efficient, and it is effectively counted. And so when you hear some of the laws, when you look at we want to have IDs, when you look at the times and the uniformity, yeah, we want people to come in and they get mad because, you know, you can't early vote on the Sunday before. But as I said, the Sunday and Monday before are the day of reconciliation. You need to reconcile those files. And on large elections such as the gubernatorial and the presidential election, those days are, you can have anywhere up to, in some counties, up to a good several thousands, in the tens of thousands, maybe even the hundreds of thousands of people that are still, that walked in the vote that need to be reconciled with the polling books that actually go out to the polling stations. And if you don't have those books accurate when you get out to the field, you can have a real mess on your hand. And the last thing we want is a mess on our hands when we go out to the ballot. Because what happens when we go out to the polls, because what happens when you go out to the polls, if you come in and it says that you have voted and you did vote, then we need to know that you voted or that you did not vote. And we want every vote to count. And you don't want a whole lot of provisional ballots based upon our error of reconciliation. And I'll say it that way. You don't want that to happen. So, and I know you hear, well, there won't be no souls to the polls. But they can soul to the poll on Wednesday at Bible study. They can send a memo out, and everybody can get in the church, man, and they can come on any other day. But soul to the poll on Sunday and the following Monday makes it very, very difficult for the boards of elections across the state of Ohio to reconcile their files as they should, just so that you know. So I want to get that out. But you can go and vote today. Here in the Youngstown, Mahoning County area, there's a couple Senate House races. There are your precinct committee people races are important. You know, I'm always talking about you guys saying that I'm a Democrat, I'm a Republican, I'm a this. Well, if you're not involved in the basis of it, which is your Jeff is over here popping cans. Go ahead and sip. There you go. That's pretty good. There you go. Bags. That is not a good breakfast. That is not a breakfast of champions, Jeff. No.
Strong like gold.
Just bad.
I didn't slurp nothing. You're slurping and you don't have nothing to slurp.
Well, no. Do you have proof of that?
Mm-hmm. I don't see it.
There's no proof.
Total proof.
No.
I'm supposed to have faith that you got something. Faith.
And so I'm going to go back. I really want you guys to go out and vote. Please be a part of the primary system. This is in Ohio. This is where you declare your party. So you say you're Republican, you say you're Democrat, but if you don't vote in the primary, this is where you declare your party. This year is where you vote for your precinct committee people. This is the year you vote for your organization of the party you say you belong to. And you need to pay attention because, you know, you say, I'm a this and I'm a that. And you so far from this and that, it's really a shame. Just thought I'd say that out loud. So that's all I have to say about that right now. But please remember, you can vote here and in the state of Ohio. Go out and vote your cause. And there's not a lot. There's not a lot on the ballot, but there are some things that are on the ballot. I'm going to say this out loud. Do not vote for the charter amendment in the city of Youngstown, whatever you do. Just say no. It's a bad bill. You don't want to change the charter, and you definitely don't want that crazy, wacky language where you can't wear deodorant in the city of Youngstown, because that would be a funky place to live. 347, your mic is on. Good morning.
Morning, sister. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. My kids have ELA testing. Well, two of them. So I just dropped them off. And I heard you discussing politics. And if I may add, please, I think that our voting public tends not to take politics serious enough. It could be that people have given up on politicians. I don't mean all people, but many. So they just, you know, cast aside the vote as a, you know, a chicken wing. Oh, we'll do it and move on because nothing's going to change anyhow. And I can understand the sentiments, but I think it's still important to be involved. I would, however, appreciate if our system included third and fourth party alternatives in a serious manner, because then on some matters, some years, we'll find that we'd prefer party C instead of parties A and B, in perpetuity.
Can I say this? I agree with you on third parties, but third parties are not a part of the infrastructure. And when I say that, the laws, everything is shaped around the two-party system with independence. And there are, I guess maybe there are another 15 to 20 other parties that are out there that don't have the organizational structure to make the impact on elections as they should. With that said, I was always taught that you work from the inside out. So if you really want to impact change, you get inside of whichever party that actually reflects your ideals. You learn the system, and then you impact change that way. What's happening right now is, you like the Tea Party, you have people who are well-intended, but they have not sat down long enough to learn how this system works, to read the laws about the system, to know what happens in the system, and they just want to shoot the system and change it, and it just doesn't change that way. And they don't want to take the time to organize. And it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of late nights. It takes a lot of organization, and it takes a lot of learning. And you never know it all. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. I think, though, that the system can change overnight. Here's how: constitutional amendments or a president using his power, executive authority. You know what I mean? I think we could make a constitutional amendment that says, hey, how do you have a political system with just two parties that are taken seriously, and there can be no valid voting process unless we have, let's say, three parties involved, and each one gets a vote of X, and exclude this. I hope I'm not throwing something else into the waters here, but exclude the funding that comes from powerful corporations and have funding only from taxpayer-type structures. So let's say each party gets $100 million a year to work with, the three parties. So that's $300 million. I'm just throwing a ballpark figure.
It's for what's your name again?
Hotep Kenyatta.
Hotep, let me say it this way. This is what's going on, so that you know. Republicans and Democrats don't agree on much. You know that, right?
They don't agree on hardly anything. If we say A, the other one will say B.
until it comes to making sure that you don't have the taxpayers a part of the process.
Yeah.
I'm serious. If you want to see where they agree that they do not want the everyday taxpayer to be a part of the process. So they will make sure, because both of them put laws into existence to make sure that the system stays the way that it is when it comes to money and power and influence for their constituents. I wish I could tell you something different, but I can't.
By the way, related to what you're saying about the power structure, this blew my mind. There is no constitutional right to education.
That's correct.
So what happens, and I had to give a speech on this, and I mean, somebody should have slapped me. I never knew it. So therefore, it's arguable that if you look back at the so-called founding fathers, who were slave masters, who were typically rich dudes, who were typically male Anglos, they weren't interested in certain things. Their interest was keeping the country together, well, putting the country together, and ensuring that they made profits, and ensuring that women knew their place, blacks knew their place, Native Indians knew their place. And if you were poor trying to get an education, that wasn't their concern, but religion was. So a lot of what we're suffering from comes from the foundation, and that foundation comes from Rome. That foundation comes from Egypt, and you have to look at things, not you, of course. I'm just talking the general population, historically also. But I think we can do some good. I'm feeling very optimistic this week. I'm feeling like this is it. We're going to change the world, Sister Tracy.
Listen, we won't change the world until we actually change ourselves. America is built on a productive society. And if people are not productive, they will never, and contributing, they will never be successful. And as long as we are sitting on the sidelines waiting for somebody to come and give us something, we will always be where we are. I had a conversation with a young lady the other day, and I said to her, listen, you need to go call here to get this so that you can make your life a little bit easier. So go online and look up this right here, find out who's there in your area, and give them a call. And she stopped and said to me, well, why don't you do it for me? And I said, huh?
Yeah.
Now, listen, I told you where to go. I told you what to do. Now you want me to go do it?
Do it, yeah.
This is not benefiting me. This is benefiting you.
Wow.
And we have bred a mind or a breed of entitlement that everybody thinks that they don't have to work for anything. They don't have to do anything. You go do it, and I'll just sit here and wait for you to get it done.
But you know what, Tracy? Let's also indicate, built on entitlement, you had Native Indians who owned the land originally, and we were entitled to it, right? Manifest destiny, slaves working for free, manifest destiny. What happens is that people at different socioeconomic levels are trying to get the same types of benefits that the people at the top, the, let's say 1% or 0.001%. So our system itself has this entitlement system built in. The super rich corporations hardly pay any taxes. So the poor man and woman is saying, look, you know, if I can get my piece without doing much work, you make the call. That's why we're behind most of Asia educationally and when it comes to building robots and productiveness. Because we're I wouldn't say lazy, but we just take things for granted. Things should
we're,
be.
Now, no, we're both.
Yeah.
We're both. We take.
But Tracy, go on. Sorry.
You know, they say that you don't miss your water till your well runs dry.
Yeah.
We are lazy. We are complacent. And we take it for granted because we don't realize what we have at our fingertips. How can you send your child to school for 12 years straight and not embrace upon the free education that they get? How does that happen? Yet in Africa, you only go to school if your parents have the means to let you go. And why do we allow that to happen? So you go into your inner city schools, and we're paying anywhere from $14,000 per student up to $20,000 per student to educate your child. You go into the suburbs and you're paying almost half of that per student, but the children that are living in the inner city are not getting the education that they deserve. How do we let that happen?
Yeah. By the way,
whose fault is that?
Check this out. I went to a school recently. 10% of the students are able to read at grade level. 90% read below grade level. So, and this is in an urban school, of course. So you're totally correct. We have a crisis at hand educationally and as it relates to politically. How can people be intelligent voters if they can't read properly? If they can't, you know, if you can't read, you're stuck.
I don't want you to be intelligent because intelligent people ask questions.
Yeah.
I'm going through a situation right now, and I am I'm getting ready to call and ask some questions about a decision that was made. Well, I know that you're the boss, and I know that you're in charge, but I'm a grown woman, and I need answers. So I need to know why, and I need more than just I said so, because you're not my mama. My mama got away with because I said so. And we need to learn how to ask questions. Okay, you passed this bill. Why? You did this. Why? This is going on. Why? Listen, I got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends. Hold on. The number is 347-945-5229. It is 25 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on April Fool's Day. We'll see you on the other side of my break.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit AIWHealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse, once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600. We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. I just want you guys to know something. I have, in the last few days, I have fallen in love with jazz. I think I've got a George Duke, you know, he's just a bad boy. Okay.
I love George Duke. I'm so sorry he's gone.
I have a question for you. Why do the greats leave early?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, the other day I thought about Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston. They left, I mean, so young. Don't even go there.
I don't know.
Don't even go there. Because I got my own theory. But that's some serious stuff. Luther Vandross, George Duke.
Well, musicians are tortured individuals because...
Donny Hathaway.
When you have to live normally, in other words, you can't do what you are to make a living, you're tortured. You're unconflicted. And you know you love to play, but there just aren't enough people paying people to play. And your churches think, oh, yeah, well, you need to do that because you're doing it for the Lord. Give the Lord your talent. Nowhere in the Bible did God ask you to do anything that he didn't pay you for. Nowhere.
But is everything about money?
Yes, it is.
We'll come back to
it's
that.
It's about worth. Absolutely.
Is everything about money?
Yes.
So why is it that we only, well.
Now, here's the thing. Your charity is your charity. Okay? Whatever you want to give, you know, as out of your heart and as unto the Lord.
Could everything be about opportunity cost, and the flip side of the opportunity cost being some systems where money is the objective, other systems that are more religiously fundamental, where pleasing their God is the objective. So I think with everything that costs, the time you take to get dressed, you could have been, you know, using the computer, et cetera. But we have to restructure it, in my humble opinion, to one where money is not the primary focus of everything. But for now, we're caught in it, so if we don't play the game, we'll be the ones homeless and in housing court.
Because I know money is a tool, and money answereth all things. But then when I look at money, everybody, I mean, we got kids who will not, you know, help out their neighbor unless you pay them. You got people that won't even, you know, they won't do anything for you unless you pay them. They don't volunteer to do anything for free. And it's like, hello? You don't intern unless you get paid.
Gotcha.
Well, you want to get paid $20 an hour because you're doing what? Because it's my worth. Preachers won't come and tell you Jesus loves you unless you're going to pay them. As a matter of fact, they get to the crux of the sermon and then call and say, if you want the rest of the sermon, call 999 and buy the DVD for $49.95 for your love offering donation. Am I lying?
It's true. Have the credit card ready. God is waiting.
See what I mean? You can't be blessed unless you get. Well, what if I ain't got it? Well, too bad. You won't get this one.
God needs the cash. God needs the cash, Tracy. You don't understand. He's counting those, you know, up there with Jesus. Like, okay, this is $50. That's all you gave, Tracy? Come on.
God needs $50. You silly. You are silly. Hey, Covina, man, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. You guys can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like what you and the other caller were talking about was a good subject, and I'm approaching that without mentioning white supremacy whatsoever. I'm just going to say that there, in our system, I think there are healthy and unhealthy cynicism and skepticism as a result, you know, as it plays out with the electorate and people who get elected, because as you guys are talking about money, in politics, money is even more important or just as important as anywhere in life. When you talk about it, you know, you compare it to church and their scam, politics and with money, that's a scam too. The system is rigged. I think we all know it to some extent. You know, you go into a courtroom, if you're accused of domestic violence, let's just say, would you want to be a poor person walking into the court accused of domestic violence or a rich man? You know, if you can afford the lawyer, you can get off with murder. We all know that, right?
But Colby, can I say this to you? This is what I'm learning.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
It's not. Let me say this. It's not that we don't make money, because we do. The problem is we don't know the rules of money and how to make our money make money. We make money. Don't get us wrong, because we make some money. But if you don't know the rules for your money to make money, all you do is make money. The difference between those and those that have and those that have not is that their money makes money. So they make some money, and then their money goes to work. Our money never goes to work for us. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Join in the conversation. And until we learn how to make our money and then have our money make money, we will always be where we are.
Well, that's the whole thing.
Yeah, no doubt. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I just learned some things today about how taxes, you know, how you can deal with back taxes, these things, and blah, 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 that I had never, ever, 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 never known in my life. And, you know, having CPAs do your taxes did not bring these things to light. And I'm up there saying, then who the heck was I hiring all these years to do this for me? You know, and I'm up there tripping. You know, on the whole process, just crazy.
Yeah, I think rich people have when they say living in two Americas, it's absolutely right that they live in an existence with the tax code, the political code, who can get what done and who can't get done, is that's just the way our system is. We live in an unofficial caste system, like the old Indian, you know, dot on the forehead, except that the dot is how many dots or commas are in your bank account.
Kavita, man, this is where you and I differ. But we don't have to. The problem is that we choose to, because we have not learned to work within our own system to help other people get out of the situation that they're in. And instead of us working together and contributing one with another to make things happen, we want one person to do everything for us. Going back to the young lady that I tell her, this is what you do to get what you want, and she tells me to go do it for her.
Hey, but isn't a part of the major challenge not only in our country,
Alabama,
but globally, ignorant? If you're ignorant of something, you don't know any better. How do we counter the ignorance of people who don't understand the political process, who will spend $100 on cheap sneakers but not $50 to get their children educational software? We're caught in such a quandary. I don't see how, when I say we, I'm talking in particular to socioeconomically challenged and darker people in America. I don't see how we're going to dig out of it without some leaders that have some gonads the size of elephants.
This is my problem. We don't listen to people. And the people that we listen to don't have our best interest at heart. Go down the street, look underneath you better dig a hole. Dig the hole. And if you go down about 10 feet, you'll find a box. In the box, you'll find some money. How many people will not go down there and dig the hole because they don't want to work at it?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And I think that it would require someone to accompany them. If I follow your scenario, that if you can't just say to people, go do X, Y, and Z, it's, you know, for your own good, that a rare person will be able to take that advice and run with it. That's why, you know, stratifications exist.
We are on listen to this. We are celebrating 50 years of civil rights this year. And this is an April 1st, this is a good day to start this conversation. We need to understand that when Martin Luther King was talking about civil rights and equality in voting, only 10% of the churches and very few people stood with him. And most of them told him that they needed he needed to shut up because he was rocking the boat and making their lives uncomfortable.
I remember. Yeah, I remember when those people said.
We need to understand that we didn't come on board with him until after the cake was done. Then everybody marched with him, even those that didn't march. And so what I'm saying is, we don't work together. We don't hear together. We have not, and we still don't, because we follow leaders who are not taking us anywhere. It's not about a party. It's not about an age. It's not about a race. It's about a knowledge. And if you'll teach me how to dig that hole a little bit easier, I don't care if you don't like me. I'm going to learn from you and learn how to dig that hole so I can get to where I'm going. Because I found out destiny was in the bottom of the hole.
Yeah, I don't think what I was trying to say, I don't think that most human beings, I'm trying not to go into the white supremacy here. I'm going to leave that alone. Right? So I'm just saying most people do not respond that way. Most people aren't like trained dogs like they do what somebody tells them to do. You have to be very vested in whatever it is that person is telling you. You have to want to hear it. You can't just have somebody come by and just say, hey, you, if you go do this, that, and the other, it'd be a reward. Most people would ignore that. You have to actually grab people by the hand, walk with them, probably drag them. They probably be resisting you, pulling them to where what's good for them. So you're being dragged along and say, well, if you dig this hole and you have to force them, tie them up, give them this thing, or maybe threat of gunshot, dig this hole, then all of a sudden they find, hey, there's something down there. That's what I was trying to tell you. That's the way people work.
But can I say that I find that to be the case also, but there is a connection that is sometimes made by some groups. They then say, well, you see, if we give these people in the hood some free cheese or some government assistance, they're going to become lazy. That is a connection that is sometimes made, and I can say I can disprove that connection because I work with and deal with on a constant basis people on the lower socioeconomic rung, and there are a segment of them who will sit back and do nothing, but they would do nothing even if they had $1 billion. Most of the folks that I interact with who are poor minority people are just waiting for an opportunity, pushing for something and don't know how to get it. And even if you tell them follow steps A, B, C, D, either they don't comprehend that they will benefit or they don't believe because it sounds
Let me say this, yeah. And this is the issue that I found out. It is not all poor people. Poor people have lost their hope.
Yes.
It is people. The people that I'm running around for, they got jobs. They got good jobs. Jobs with benefits. They're not minimum wage jobs. It's those people that still are looking for an entitlement. They have an entitlement mentality that don't want to go out and do something else.
Wow.
So they go to work.
Okay.
They go to work every day at the job that they despise.
You're right. You're 100% right.
And they won't do anything to make their lives better.
So is it kind of house versus the field worker maybe mindset?
Oh, my gosh, don't go there. Leave that alone.
It is. No, it's true. It is true. But every time that there was a runaway slave, we would go turn them in.
Yeah.
No, don't go there.
Better than them, yeah. Especially if we have a few degrees, you know, we're way out there.
We don't in Alabama. Your mic is on, and we don't want people to do better than us. We want us all to stay at the same level. That's what's wrong with redistributing of wealth. I'm not mad at the 1%. Only thing the 1% tells me is I can go get it. How you doing, Six Pack?
Check this out. This is the thing right here. Like, I agree. I think that people do have the mentality that you guys are discussing, but I also feel like what you like when I did my comedy club, right? I failed, but it's like you expecting this big punch to hit you in your gut when you fail, but it never comes. In fact, what happens is once you get out there, and this is from experience, once you get out there and you do something and you fail, that wisdom and knowledge that you gain and that having done it gains you a level of confidence that and now I can get out of the hole much faster. Like if something bad happens, because I can tell you stories about that club and all this stuff I lost, but I had to dig out of the hole. I've dug out of the hole. It didn't take that long. It wasn't that long. It took some hard times. Yes, it did. But you're gonna have hard times if you're a 9-to-5 or not. A lot of times, us as people, this is human beings, not just blacks, are afraid of that failure of being ridiculed and mocked. I was ridiculed. I was mocked, but it wasn't that bad. It wasn't. I just blocked everyone out. And I remember people used to tell me, "Man, you strong, man. You know." I'm like, "I'm not strong. I just block everyone out. Don't pay attention to the gossip, and do what you have to do." And then all of a sudden, you write back, and it takes 2 or 3 years. You write back where you were. Sometimes we're afraid of failing because we don't want somebody to pick on, to laugh and joke on us and talk about us. But I can say, hey, I walked on water. You didn't. Most people don't think like that.
Six Pack, could it be that most people are not leaders? In every society, we have leaders everywhere on the planet. And since most people aren't leaders, I wouldn't say followers, but they're average in their, pursuit. I would say personally it's up to the leaders to make sure that we give back to those that may not possess, whatever reason, the resources, intellectual or financial, to get to where we are, or at least in our ballpark. Because you said, leaders, we drop you on the moon, you're going to make it. Yeah.
That's what Du Bois was saying. He was Pan-African. He was saying you have a tenth of the population that can come back and provide the jobs and do certain things for people to help people out. That's how it is. Has always been. Except ours, when they get a job or get something, they'd rather go work for GM instead of starting their own company, or they'd rather go do something else instead of working for their own and owning their own. They don't believe in that. So that's the real kicker, I think, that we don't have that mentality. We don't value entrepreneurship, business ownership, owning and controlling our own community. We don't value that. We value consumption, what we consume. And this is America. It's not just every, but it's blacks more than anybody. But we value consumption. We brag about what we got on, what we drive. We feel a sense of pride. Instead of feeling a sense of pride because I own the factory that make those shoes, or I own the store that sold you those shoes. We don't think like that. And because we don't, we're stuck in a cycle. But see, wealthy people think like that. Not only wealthy people, but a lot of these foreigners that move in black communities, they think like that. They think that, hey, when you come give us your dollar, you're empowering us by you think I'm just hungry, or I just need some weed. No, you're empowering my children to have your children work for them. That's what you're doing. Every time you take your dollar and give it to a foreigner, a Korean or Hispanic or Arab person, you're empowering them to have your kids, when they get out of school, go and work for these same people, especially the Asians. Because right now, I'm from Montgomery, we got the Hyundai plant, and they've bought up the whole city. They're buying everything. And I know people that go to church with some Asians, and they, the way they look at blacks and the way they think of it as...
You know, I think he went out. I have, I agree with this. Hold on, Alabama, because Alabama, your mic went out. I agree with what you're saying, but remember, it is a conditioning being taught inside of our homes. For years, we were taught go to school, get an education, and get a job. Let me say this, with integration, instead of our parents, and I'm not saying it's their fault. But instead of them making us work alongside of them while they were getting ahead, all they wanted us to do was go get a good education because they didn't want us to work as hard as they did.
Do you notice, too, that in the civil rights push, it's always the civil rights push for you to be able to be employed.
Yes.
It is never for you to be an entrepreneur, because they don't want you to have any type of power. I feel bad about this because, you know, now Kavina Mann will say it's white supremacy. But
I'm not
going to
go there.
But my point is this. It's the people that you vote for that you're that's doing it to you. Every time. No, it's the same setup. Look at your education system. Your education system is set up to not teach your kids, to not have them be under control. And guess what? By the time they get old, a nice size of them are in trouble with the law. A good percentage of them are not able to be hired in any type of a real job situation. They have bad habits like smoking dope and doing certain of these things. And then you're sitting there fighting with the – and then these people, hey, we'll help you. Come on, join us. And then they start, we need to hire, you know, get more black people hired. And then we got to have homosexual rights. Yeah, and then we got to have
orange is the new black. Huh?
Right.
So gay is the new civil rights.
Civil rights.
And we allow this to happen.
Wait a minute. Now your cause that they pulled you in with is now beating the living daylights out of you, because you don't have a ground, an inch of dirt to stand on. And you get swamped up. And then here, listen to me. Last year I didn't hear, but I mean, I heard very little talk about voter suppression in our area here.
Nowhere.
You didn't hear it. And we have now, Youngstown is something like 52% black. Okay? Now, you had, the guy's a friend of mine, so I don't have a problem with him winning an election. But you had two black people in the race that either one of them could have won a race at any time. But you didn't have all that big drive. They're trying to stop you from voting. They moved to polling locations. They did this and that. And they don't realize that in Ohio, every single board of elections is set up that nothing moves or changes unless the Democrats and the Republicans agree on it. In every single of the 88 counties. And they take this foolishness on. They take this on and fight somebody else's battle while their kids are still dying in the streets. We just had another killing last night. And while their kids are the ones sitting up, our kids, I'm saying here, our African-American kids, are the ones that are suffering. And then we want to talk some white supremacy and vote for the white supremacists.
I'm not talking about just white.
Listen, we weren't supposed to bring white supremacy.
I'm not just aiming that at you, Kavina Mann.
He's trying not to go there.
I know, but I'm saying that's where people. It's okay. I'm saying this. This is what they are doing to you, though, and you don't realize it.
I'm not going to fight.
Listen to this. Whether it be education, whether it be voting, whatever it is, tell me, please. Why are we allowing this to happen?
Let me respond to what Jeff was saying, but I'm not going to bite on the bait. I'm not going down that road. White supremacy is pretty much obvious. I'm trying to meet you halfway.
Go somewhere.
Yeah, so it was Jeff was talking about the 60s and the civil rights or whatever, and you know, celebrate. And I think that you have to contextualize America as it was going on in the 40s, 50s, and then into the 60s, and the economy, where white folks were getting jobs in factories, and you had the idea of the corporate man. He goes out from his suburb to his corporate, job, and come home and leave it to Beaver. That's what America was fed pretty much across the board. That you would get into corporate life, or you would get into life, you would have have a union job or whatever, and a factory job or whatever, and people were succeeding at that time, except for where the color line was. So black folks at the time was like, well, if this white guy, my equal, can get a job at the factory or the corporate America, so on and so forth, why can't I? That's been sold to them. That's been sold to regular America, that you're going to get off the boat in Europe, come set up and get a job as the fireman or something. Black folks wanted that too. So they're asking at the time, if you contextualize it, we want to be in line too. Why can't we get some of them union jobs, some of them corporate jobs, and so on and so forth? So it's not that they didn't want necessarily, oh, we want to disempower you, so we're going to give you civil rights. It was like people wanting jobs. People are wanting jobs, so they get in line for the job. I should be included too. It's only now that we're playing. Now that we're playing like Monday morning quarterback 50 years later, and we say, well, the people who are standing in line getting jobs who are hungry and their kids was, living in a one-room shack, they shouldn't have jobs. What they should have did was move on up and try to become an entrepreneur or something. That wasn't their struggle at the time. Done.
Now, here's my point here. Here's my point. You said that from 50 years ago. Who was stupid enough not to fashion it for today and what's actually needed? Who neglected to change the format of what we need in the community and what should be happening?
Who neglected is some of our leaders, meaning some of our leaders, and I could say some names, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, W.E.B., miscalculated in some areas, can take what some of, and let's say John F. Kennedy, because, for the diverse audience, many of them miscalculated. And I think we also calculate on the marijuana issue. We are not cognizant that intellectually, unless somebody is smoking, a tree a day, they're not going to be violent or dumbed down. They might eat all your food, but you don't know how many cops are smoking weed when they come to beat us up. We don't know which ones are gay. I think that if we're not careful, what we do is we have groups of brilliant people working in corners but not together, because one group is Muslim, one group is Republican, one group is down with WEB, one group has Ivy League degrees, one group is gay. So we end up nowhere. And we need to come together, otherwise the mountaintop that Martin Luther King constantly, spoke about is going to be under the ground.
Hey, listen, I got to take a break. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229, and we'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The State Environmental Protection Agency has responded to a gasoline spill in Hubbard. Some gas collected in a storm sewer, and crews were working to clear it out using vacuums. It's unclear how much gasoline leaked and where exactly it came from. Starting next Monday, all of the maternity services at St. Elizabeth Health Center will move to the hospital's Boardman campus. The newly constructed maternity wing is part of a $100 million renovation project. There are 33 postpartum rooms, 14 labor and delivery rooms, and 3 operating rooms. And in Ohio, the deadline to apply for home heating assistance was just extended. The state's Home Energy Assistance Winter Crisis Program will now offer help up to April 15th. The typical deadline was yesterday. This winter, nearly 134,000 residents have received $34 million in help with their heating bills. For WSON News, I'm Harper Keegan.
This time, it's personal.
Hello?
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 W.
Y'all there?
Yeah, we're in Alabama.
Yeah.
Man, I don't, when I look at the past, I was listening to Jason Black the other day. He was like, well, I don't blame white supremacy for decisions that grown people make. That's why I like Jason Black, because he don't like excuses. And he was just saying that, you know, it's time. You know, we can diagnose, see the issues, and try to make a difference by owning and controlling what we can own and control. That's the way I feel. I can't wait for him to bring his documentary out, because that's what I think we need. We need more of that. We need more people talking like that instead of taking it and just pointing the finger at this one issue, because a lot of people, like the gentleman just said, won't even try. They just can't fathom. They can't even wrap their mind around owning this and controlling this, having this money and doing this. And the ones that get their hands on it, when they try to tell them, they're like, oh, you were just lucky, or you just, that was your situation, or that, you know, I've heard, hey, Bill, you don't have any kids, so you don't have to, or you're single, you don't have to worry about it. I'm like, well, if you have a wife, it's actually easier for you. Y'all work together, but, you know.
We have tried that way, though. Don't forget, we had the Black Panthers, we had Marcus Garvey's movement, we had slaves that would form a rebellion. I think, don't underestimate.
So you're
the
saying
power
it doesn't work. So you're saying it just doesn't work.
No, I didn't say it doesn't work. What I said is we have tried it. It isn't as though we have sat around not trying it. If we don't factor into the equation the white supremacy, the racist, and the trillions of dollars invested to oppress
Hold on. You made an interesting point. You said, look at the people you named, Marcus Garvey. When these people did this stuff, the government, and I believe in reparations and all that. The government rose up in Wilmington, North Carolina, Philadelphia. They had all these different Black Wall Streets. Rosewood was a Black Wall Street, Tulsa. When they did all that, Greenwood Arch and Pine, when they did that, what happened was the government rose up because they saw what was going on. And I agree. I think that was wrong. That doesn't necessarily mean don't go back out and fight. And I think that's sometimes. We say, oh, we shouldn't try. I've heard people say, oh, the government's going to slap us down. It's like, okay, well, so just because the bully is bigger than you, give him your lunch money. I say he's just going to whoop me every day. I'm going to have to get my ass whooped every other day until he decides that he come green. I'm going to have to fight him. You know what? Just give it to him. I'm tired of fighting him. You got to keep fighting. Otherwise, it's going. And I'm not saying people haven't fought. I'm saying we fought and won at times. But that gets, nobody's going to tell you that. But there are times where we actually have had victories. We've won. We've owned and controlled certain things. But that gets swept under the rug. That's why you don't hear about that stuff.
I think you and I are saying basically the same thing, the difference being the percentage of weight that we put on certain shoulders. I say most of the weight is put on the system, and it's going to be take phenomenal leadership and courage and numbers to defeat. I think you're more saying the phenomenal weight.
Yeah, you put your finger right on the crux of the issue, because I agree with you. I think that we have issues, but my problem is I don't think that there's going to be. We have this messianic complex. We're not going to have some messiah person come.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think we will lull to sleep after the civil rights movement, and just like you said, 10% of the people supported him. It's like everybody, a lot of people now want to lay claim to glory, say, hey, we did this. And they didn't. They just sat there, didn't do anything. And that's the thing. It's like people are going to, nobody's going to save us, basically. We've been here 400 years. We're going to save ourselves. And we're going to have to get out here. It's not going to be some guy come up and give a great speech and he's going to part the waters like Moses and lead us out of Egypt. It's not going to happen like that. We're going to have to start piece by piece and fight one by one. And get it, and it's going to take having a mindset of, and we're not going to all agree on religion, politics, none of that.
None of that. Yeah.
We're going to just have to let that go. Like, that's the thing I have a problem with is, as soon as somebody gets a little knowledge, they want to bash Black Christians. They want to bash Black Muslims. They want, like, man, just forget that. Just go out and empower each other. Empower people. And Black empowerment. If you're going to do that, then I'm all for that. But if not, I don't. That's me. I'm about results, not trying to. You know what, brother? You got to let your God go. You got like, man. Look, that's a losing. Like, there are people. Jews, all Jews don't think the same. But Jews can go anywhere. They can do anything. They got. They're free. They don't have to go back to Africa. They can live here. They can live in any place in the world. because they have power and control. That's all we need to work on that.
Yeah, you know what, man? I used to run that show, and that message right there was the center message of our show. And I can tell you, brothers ain't really about to let that go. There's that division. What it is you have the Hotep brothers of the world, or the whatever. In order for you to work with them, or them work with you, you have to convert. You have to convert to whatever it is they believe, and then dump all your money and resources behind their chosen leader. And most of these communities have some chosen leader guy somewhere. And
we all know.
You know, the people I'm talking about. So, but it's like you have to convert, or you're not going to be inclusive in what they're doing. And so, I follow both of you brothers with what you guys are saying. I just think you're going down a path that's a dead end, unfortunately. I would like to believe that
Let me say this right here, Kavina Man. I think the smart part to do is to not engage you on that level. Like, I wouldn't engage you on Jesus, even though I believe in it. I wouldn't engage you on that. I'm going to engage. That's why I never do that. All I talk about is, are you for empowering each? And who? And if you're against that, then you really got something's got to be. You mentally are ignorant. Something's wrong with you if you don't believe in empowerment. Now, you're right. A lot of those Hotep brothers, Israelites, they got this certain guy that they swear by. I've talked to a girl. I met her. Me and her was clicking. You know what? You need to talk to this guy. He really, some guy with dreads, smoking weed, don't got a job, bragging about, got full of a bunch of knowledge. You done read out some books. I don't want to talk to brothers like that. I'm like, man, look, man, what company are you trying to start? How'd you get this bank loan? That's who I want to talk to. If you ain't trying to do that, get out my, it ain't going to be everybody. That's what I'm starting. It ain't going to take it. I'm not trying to convert people.
I speak to street philosophers and some of those same brothers. That's why my name is Hotep Kenyatta. I think you're talking about two different types of people. One group of people take the new knowledge that they find about Egypt and Kemet and Nubia, and the fact that the Greeks, the Romans, and everybody stole our stuff and converted it into something we celebrate today. And then they say, if you don't follow the black path, you're not down. But people like me, what I say is, I know the truth, and I know about Egypt and Nubia and Kemet and Kush, etc. But I'm for people coming to the same table, and I'm not alone. So not all the people into black knowledge from a spiritual standpoint are exclusionists. There's a small subset, and I do have a feeling some of that small subset are working for the government. Do you understand? I think some of the people are put in there to pull us against, because when I hear them talking stuff negative.
I've met brothers that's Muslim. That man, we click. We just disagree on religion. And we click. I mean, it's all about results.
Tracy and friends here on WSOM AM 600. Have you noticed? It's April Fool's Day, and I haven't played happy yet. Just so that you know. The number is 347-945-5229. And I know it's a happy day, but I'm going to play happy before the day is out. You think?
I don't care. You're playing Duke. That's all I'm worried about.
Isn't that Paul Johnson?
Yes, it looks like it.
I think it is.
That's a little far from me over there, okay? And the screen is a little bit small. I got glasses on, not a telescope.
I got to get Paul to come visit me.
You know him?
Yeah.
Well, see, now, that's what will get you that, okay?
Yeah, I got to get Paul to come
okay.
visit.
Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, we do that.
I got to get Paul to come visit.
See, you got
to get Sean Jones to come.
See, this is what
I'm talking about. We're just brainstorming here live on the air. But if you could take a Paul Johnson, a Sean Jones, Alton Merrill, and Garrison Brown on the drums.
Yeah, well, Garrison ain't coming back.
Why not?
Garrison ain't coming back.
Wait a minute. We got family here.
Garrison's playing for, he's out there with Covina, man. What you talking about?
I don't care where they are. Paul.
But Paul's the artist. He just plays for the artist.
I'm going to get Gerald Albright to come in, too.
Gerald is my hero.
Hey, Jeff.
Now, Gerald Albright is my saxophone hero.
Because, see, but Garrison will come back. I mean, he's got to come back for come visit his family sometime.
Oh, yeah, well.
I mean, I hate to tell you.
No, Garrison is a beast. I mean,
y'all got to come home sometime.
Those
are my babies.
And they all call me Uncle Jeff. And
my children.
They got
to come home and visit the family sometime. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on the SOM. AM 600, the number is 347-945-5229. And get my brothers to come home. I'm trying to figure out how to get
jazz.
What'd you say?
I want to say something about jazz and what I've encountered, because I deal with some jazz folks. And there's a big divide. You know how we have this divide on other issues? Well, when it comes to jazz, hip-hop, reggae, blues, rock, there are two cliques. And the two cliques tend not to work together. I got some jazz folks that have won awards, and I've been telling them for years, yo, bro, we got to do some tracks together, right? Send them proposals. They think they're better than me because I'm into hip-hop and reggae, right? I said, but you're no better than me. Why ain't we on the same page? Hit the studio. Drop a beat on them. So I love jazz, but I also love hip-hop and blues. Yeah.
You know, this goes into what we were talking about, and let me throw this in there. People have not learned how to cultivate the competitive spirit and let it work for them and to be secure in their own skin in the craft and the art that they have. And what I'm saying is, what happens is, I don't bring you in because I don't want to compete with you. Because going back to what I said earlier, I never want you to be better than me. That's what's wrong with America. In America, we hire down instead of hiring up. In a lot of cases.
Yeah.
So instead of hiring people who are smarter than me, we hire people who are dumber than me so that they don't outshine me.
You
know, wealthy people, they say wealthy people hire people that are smarter than them in a particular subject. And then they watch them like a hawk, read and study the subject so they're not ignorant and being tricked. So if I want to be an accountant, I mean, I want to hire an accountant, then I hire an accountant, but I make sure that he's able to do the job and I can come in and do it for him. I mean, do it just as good, but or at least even if he's better than I am in that particular subject. I think a lot of times we hire people, you know, I don't want to be the smartest guy at my company. But to me, intelligence is a construct of people's mindsets anyway, like, when they say, well, so-and-so's intelligent, this person's intelligent, really, it doesn't make a difference. As long as I'm not stupid, you can have an IQ higher than mine, but if I'm a millionaire and I'm happy and I'm not stupid, I can care less about the fact that you got an IQ almost a 200. You know, I'm happy. I'm fulfilled in my life, and I'm doing what it is that I want to do. That's just me.
Eric, your mic is on.
Tracy, in the electronics field, they definitely hire down. They do not like it when somebody come in there and smarter than they are. They get intimidated from day one.
But again, and remember, it's all about the threat, because we have not learned how to work as a team. We've learned how to work as a threat to one another, because I'm afraid that if you're better than me, you're going to take my spot or you're going to get my highlight, because we haven't learned how to glorify people in their gifting. Everybody has a gift, and it's not for me to take all the glory, because it's not all mine. And it's okay to share the spotlight with other people, but that comes with maturity that most people do not get to.
Yeah.
And Tracy, let me add in before I have to go here, but I want to say when the brother Hotep, I can't remember his full name, but he said his name was Hotep, and then he had mentioned earlier before the break that there was a miscalculation of civil rights leaders, you know, of the day, and I think that of the era, this take that back to the 60s, I think there was a whole miscalculation across the spectrum in that nobody really thought or planned as far as like the regular common person that the jobs and the factories were going to close down, right? People were building up lives, they were having mortgages and you know, the songs is playing, but the bosses are playing, and you know, so, well, you know, people were in a good mood when it was jobs and the factories was humming, and then all of a sudden that it was a change in the whole economic demographic. The jobs left, the factories closed down, the city after
on.
City. I mean, let me just finish my point. I'm almost done with my point. Let me just finish my point. All of a sudden, right, all these factories closed down, and then it changed black people's lives and other people's lives, and that was a whole miscalculation. You have whole cities and industries ruined, so to speak, and nobody really knew that was coming. Hold on, I'm almost done. And what would it look like if the jobs did not close down and those factories and those people were still employed and humming in the regions that you live in?
Let me say it this way. The jobs closing down, we should not have had all of our eggs in one basket. Because Martin Luther King, I don't believe, knew that there was not the buses were going to be automated the way they are today. But, you know, at my understanding, there is a rumor out there from Harry Belafonte. And he is quoted as saying that he was having a conversation with Martin one day, and Martin was sitting down, and he said, "Man, I think I've just taken my people into a burning building, and they're not prepared."
That's what he said.
And
he
so
said integrated my people into a burning building, burning house.
Thank you very much.
And the name is Alabama, not Six Pack. Tell everybody, because people calling me Six Pack.
Oh, I was about to call him Six Pack.
That's your new name, Alabama. We ain't call you Alabama.
Really, just call me Green.
That's my name. You can't have my name.
I can't call you Green.
That's right.
Green is the color of
the name. Got my daddy blood on that.
Hold on.
The name got my daddy blood on that. She can go, but the name stay with me.
Six Pack is your new name.
Don't call me Toby.
Because when he called you, we was in here rolling, and we say, that's it.
The number is
347-945-5229. Not so blind, Mike.
Yeah, but
hey,
now Six Pack.
I got a Six Pack going. Alabama, you know I love you. I just want you to know that.
Yes, sir. This is
all you call family fun. But let me, I will say this. We really need to comprehend that they did, and in some ways I agree with you, Colby and Amanda, that they did not know. But we also need to understand there are those of us that did know and do know better.
Hold on. Malcolm X was saying that. Like, I mean, I know people were so caught up in the Uncle Tom comments and all that stuff he was saying. Malcolm X was kicking some truth, and he was like a prophet. Listen to him. Go listen to Malcolm X. Let me finish this point because I'm about to go in. Malcolm X was kicking it, and he was saying, I'm about to go. He was just saying, look, we're begging these people to give us something and then have the audacity to get upset when they try to control our lives. We don't have anything. We don't own anything. So he was just saying, look, focus on that. The civil rights movement was, please let us shop at your stores and give you our dollars. Please let us come work for you and make money for your company. And they say, all right, it's just you begging, come on in. And then you wonder why.
Yeah, Malcolm is prolific.
And
I think that's a part of the reason they killed him. He was really sensational toward the end of his life.
Hear me one, I said it earlier, we don't listen to people. Malcolm said a whole lot. that we did not listen to. And there are a lot of people saying a whole lot today that we are not listening to because we don't like what they have on or where it's coming from. I see a whole lot on this program that I know is true. But people won't receive it because I'm a Republican. That's crazy.
Sure is.
I didn't ask you to become a Republican. I asked you to listen to what I'm saying and open up your eyes and see. People don't hear me because I'm a woman. People don't hear me because I'm black.
Yeah, some of the things you're saying are just common sense. It has nothing to do with your political views.
You don't have to be a Republican. You ain't got to be a woman, and you don't have to be black to learn that truth is truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell you that right now we are going into a burning building because we won't give our children the education, we won't make them pull up their pants, and we won't make them make sure that they assimilate to modern society. I watched The Voice, and I watched, what's it called, the other one, the American Idol.
Yeah, American Idol.
Yeah.
When in America, and I don't mean no disrespect to white folks, but when in America could a white person outblow a black woman or a black man? When did that happen? And let me say, and the reason why I say it that way, not taking anything away from Pink and Aguilera, and there's some people out there.
Aguilera, Pink is not.
But I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Not taking anything away from them. It's because we don't take the time to practice. We don't take the time to put the time in to get what we need to go where we're going. Now, whose fault is that? Well, how in the world could we have a record industry and a distribution point like Motown in the 60s, but you ain't got Motown in 2014?
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody realize what's going on here? And then Berry Gordy raped everybody. And that goes back to he hired the best, but he didn't take care of them.
Sugar Hill did the same thing, and so did Suge Knight. I mean, that's what we do to our people. We take the money, you know. And I know some of those folks, and, you know, I talk to them. Well, some of them died, but the ones that are living, you know. But you listen, it's not that the white singers are better trained now. What happens on many of these shows, they just get more support because people call in and vote for them. A lot of black folks are there blowing their butt out, but they don't get no love. So it's
that's true too. But I've seen on that Voice, I saw some straight BS happen a couple times because they got rid of some people because their package wasn't right. You know, the person might have been overweight. This, that, and the other.
They got rid of that the girl last season. That black girl, there was a black girl, little light-skinned black girl, skinny black girl with a big bump on her head with crazy hair. And she could blow. And I watched Christina Aguilera, and I watched when they pit each other, they pit them against each other. You can tell what they're doing. And then everything is staged. And these kids leave their jobs, their families, and their homes to come and do this, thinking that they have a chance going somewhere. And I don't think we quite get it. But then look at the music industry inside of our schools. Children who normally have an education in music are very, very educated when it comes to academics. Because inside of music, they learn math, they learn rhythm, they learn discipline, they learn timing, they learn a lot. And yet inside of our inner cities, we don't have music courses. We don't have art courses. All we want them to do is play football, basketball, football and basketball. We don't even have baseball and track.
Amen.
Yeah, you're right. Right.
This is some crazy stuff.
But the thing is
and the white man got our foot on our neck, but you won't come out and take care of your kids at Little League.
You have it in certain places.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm
That's
just saying.
Problem.
And it is civil rights. We're going to celebrate, we're going to commemorate the death of Martin Luther King on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But do we not understand?
Yeah, I remember growing up, it was all about Lego blocks, Erector sets, you know, where you had to use your mind and your imagination and build something. You know, it was fun using your mind and thinking. Kids now, they don't have those kind of toys growing up.
We built
treehouse. Nobody promotes it.
Wait a minute. We built mud pies. Why are you playing? We didn't have no money. You played with what you had.
You built.
You made your dolls out of husk. You did what you had to do to go where you're trying to get to. What do we do today? We go out and mortgage a house.
I was blessed coming up because I had a nice place to come up, big yard, you know, all that stuff.
But you still. We played
all through the yard and the woods.
We were innovative.
Yeah.
Cowboys and Indians.
We found, if you made a, go ahead, Eric.
I live in the outskirts of Warren, in the township, where I had woods all around us. So it was me and my friends, we would walk a mile and a half into the woods. We found an old rail car knocked over. We made it into our little fortress. We got real, real creative. We knew how to have fun, and we used our minds what we was doing. That's why I met Sam Bama yesterday.
That's what I'm saying, even if we had a logo set, we found a way to burn the logo set to make something else out of the logos. We were innovative. But we don't even take time to have a conversation with our children. We don't even correct their English anymore.
No.
See, my mama would correct my English even if her English was not right.
Exactly.
My mom decided I had to read even if nobody else could read in the house. I don't even know if my grandparents could read. But whatever it was, they held the paper and acted like they were reading to make sure that everybody else read. We don't do it anymore.
Well, you don't do anything anymore, and I'm so sorry Covina Man is gone. But
he'll go to work.
Yeah, I know. He's a good man like that. But here's the thing. Why do you sit up and still take it? Tracy, I went to a candidate's forum yesterday.
Hold on. Let me take my break.
Yeah,
I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Eric just showed up, and we're going to just mix it up. It is open mic. We'll go where you want to go. I'm just ranting and raving today because we have major issues, and we need to solve them. And we'll see you on the other side of the break. Jeff, you're going to lose all your money, and if it falls down and doesn't have your name on it, I'm going to take it.
2014 Women's Rally in the Valley. April 26th at Victory Christian Center in Coitsville. Find out more about this life-changing event. Visit womenofhisvision.com. Entrance fans are just $15 in advance and $20 at the door.
Hey, y'all.
Hey.
Yeah.
Alabama still here?
Possibly, I'm not sure. No, yeah, I didn't respond. I'm going to pick up my kids from... a testing location.
Mm.
I appreciate talking to you all, and I'll try and check it out again a bit later. Oh, Tracy, thank you. If you get the chance, of course.
No problem. Be
all
glad
right,
to do that for you. Take care.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, well, peace.
Anybody know where Diva's been?
Listen to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600, the number 347.
Why do you have to come back on the
air? 9, 4, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, 5,
5, you got your hand on a lot of cookie jars, Tracy. You're very lucrative, prolifically talented, gifted lady.
Will you please stop that, man? Don't do it.
Have y'all known that I've been doing some crazy stuff during the break? I've been trying to hold on another job for 6 minutes during the top of the hour break.
I was grooving night after the climax of the song.
Hold on, yeah.
It's too late.
Oh, okay, see that.
They're doing it. That's not Robert Michael Walden on the drums, I do believe.
We got to get you into some Roger Troutman or something. Oh, here we go.
I had another person almost ran off the road listening to that song.
Oh, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I want you to call in. It is open mic. Amente, how are you, darling? Eric, your mic is on. Not so blind, Mike, your mic is on. Everybody else went to work. I don't know why I don't go to work. These productive people, what's going on here? They're supposed to be here and help me work. Don't they know that?
Not now.
We're single-handedly fighting. Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say we're single-handedly fighting unemployment in the black community, Tracy, by keeping you in a job.
because they wouldn't give me no unemployment if I didn't have a job, and I have expensive habits, and I'm allergic to jail.
Okay.
Oh,
right.
Well, that sums it up.
4.4 what?
4.8 magnitude earthquake striking Yellowstone.
We just had one in L.A. last week.
Well,
I thought the Yellowstone one was a couple of days ago.
I don't know.
We just had one. What are you talking about, Jack?
Yesterday at 9:16 p.m.
Okay, because we just had an earthquake in California on last week.
No, they just had a Yellowstone yesterday. 4.8, and they've been saying there's been a lot of seismic activity there.
Oh, we had one here too.
Yeah, but of course it was due to the whatchamacallit.
Have y'all watched the old ladies reading rap songs? Have you guys seen?
No.
What is that? On YouTube?
They're on YouTube. They're all over the place. There's some old white ladies singing the lyrics to some songs.
Singing or just talking?
They're reading them out loud.
Gangster lyrics or?
Gangster.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
it
geriatric
is hilarious.
Scat. That's what they do. It's called geriatric scat.
What are you doing,
scat.
Mike?
Geriatric scat. That's what it's called. I don't know.
Unbelievable.
Tracy. I think it's hey, look, it's, that's all crossing the lines. Isn't that good? You know, because I
agree.
That's
what you call it.
Yeah, well, I agreed with that caller earlier, and the gentleman, I didn't catch his name, but he was saying how he found it hard to work across music genres because, you know, people in jazz and stuff had an elitist attitude, and I found that to be true, that jazz aficionados are every bit as pretentious and every bit is elitist as the people who go to opera and as the people who listen to classical
music. Who, jazz musicians?
Aficionados of jazz, not the musicians, the aficionados of jazz. You know, like
well,
if you don't listen to jazz, you're nowhere. You know, you don't.
Well, that is true. If you don't listen to the symphony, you're nothing. If you don't go to opera, you don't
exactly.
know anything.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They're every bit as elitist and pretentious and pejorative.
Well, what you've been playing over there was called jazz fusion.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And jazz fusion is a mixture of jazz and of classical. Mm-hmm. That's what jazz fusion is. That's why the fast riffs and the things that they're doing, absolutely. R&B is different, and smooth jazz,
mm-hmm.
contemporary jazz is a different thing altogether as well.
Mm-hmm. But
that's,
I find
that's
amongst musicians, all musicians move freely through the global community of musicians. All musicians appreciate each other.
Maybe.
Anytime you master a music genre, there's going to be a little bit of pomposity there, and
I
agree with the caller in the respect that the 25th of this month, it's going to mark the 15th anniversary of the... No, wait a minute.
Did you say pomposity?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Just checking. Pomposity. That's four words. P-O-M.
One word.
P-O-M. P-O-M.
That's one of those words you can't buy unless they raise minimum wage. That's what it's about. It's about vocabulary building this minimum wage thing that's going on.
That
I'm kind of
cute, too.
Listen to this, guys.
Have you heard Kanye West and Beyonce's new song, Drunken Love? It's ridiculous.
They sing it together? Kanye West and Beyonce?
Mm-hmm.
What is Kanye West, a basketball player? Or
Kanye West is a singer.
No, I think he's a basketball player.
No.
Yeah,
no, he's a rapper.
Check out that you like him big, trust me. He's a basketball player, although I've never seen him play
basketball. He's not tall.
Oh, then he's a rapper. You don't like the song? What did you say?
Oh, the newest song is ridiculous. Watch. All the teenagers are singing this. Woo, because you a myth and I'm a motherfucker. Yeah, tonight I see some super freaky hoes.
Oh, Terry, that's hard.
That could go from being stripper to a super CEO. You reverse, and I'm impregnated your mouth.
Okay, you know what? Why are you putting this out?
I'm a visionary.
Why do you do this shit?
I put you on that bike, you bound girl. We too wild, won't turn down. We drunk in love.
Oh, God, that's
you know
what?
Yeah.
Yes, number one. But Beyonce, I mean, her husband is such a sweetheart. You don't mind her saying, we'd be all night and everything all right. Boy, I'm drinking pocket in my lot. 7-Eleven. What the hell is 7-Eleven? I'm rubbing on it, rubbing. If you're scared, call that. We never talk when we have sex.
I don't
it's talking. Then I fill the tub up halfway, then ride it with my surfboard. Grating on the wood. Get out of here. I don't want to finish. Grating on that wood. I'm swerving on that. They must have a big bathtub.
Hold up that doocy. Doocy? Is the sh**, if I do say so myself. Wait. Hold up that douche.
That was doocy.
Hold up the deuce means
this.
Oh, that? Is the shit, if I do say so myself. Slide the panties right to the side. Ain't got the time to take off drawers. I'm like Turner, turn up, but no, I don't play. Now eat the cake, anime says. Eat the cake, anime.
Oh, this is disgusting.
Who the hell is anime anyway?
I know, I think you wrote a book.
I'm nice for you all to reach these heights. Sleep tight, we sex again in the morning. Your beastishness.
Your breastness.
Your breast
is my breast.
You know, wow.
I saw them on TV. They're all over the place. They're all over the place.
I ain't never
right
seen
now.
That before.
What'd you say, Mike?
I show your age when you confuse Jerry West with Kanye West.
There's some little old ladies now.
These old little old ladies are a little bit of everywhere, and they're talking about they're reading lyrics to hip hop Beyonce songs. They're doing one for Justin Bieber. They're doing one for Blurred Lines. and they're just reading the lyrics, and it is quite hilarious because their commentary in the middle of it. Because when the lady said, "Well, we never talked when we had sex."
Wow.
You know? What? It's America. This is a new America. So, you know, you got to either get in or get out.
You know, this 25th of this month will be the 15th anniversary of the murder of the author of the Black National Anthem. Now, a lot of people think I'm talking about James Weldon Johnson when I say this, but the Black National Anthem I'm thinking of is a high-octane tune that promotes solidarity, that has promoted a lot of solidarity and just a general air of feeling in the black community. It's a high-octane tune entitled, if you remember it, More Bounce to the Ounce.
I thought you were going to tell me somebody like, because, you know, today is the anniversary of Marvin Gaye dying, I believe.
Could
be.
Starving Marvin.
How many years?
30.
30.
30.
No,
wow.
30. Is it 30?
30.
Yeah,
he got 30. Killed in 84.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Wow.
Father shot him
wow.
right in the heart. The second shot wasn't even necessary. The first shot put him down.
I'm trying to tell you, wow. that's what happens when you talk back.
You can't talk back to your parents.
He died the day before his birthday.
Yeah,
he's born. He's born on April 2nd. How old was he when he passed away?
Yeah, well, 44, by one day, what would he have been then? You know,
I don't know. He was born in 39. He died in 84.
Okay,
he'd have been 45 had he lived another day.
Wow, that is.
Yeah.
Again, there's another one gone too soon, too early. I said it when we first opened up the show. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends, the number 347-945-5229. And you're listening to us on WSOM AM 600, iHeartRadio, TracyandFriends.com. What did you say?
Brooke Benton was another one who died tragically.
Who's Benton and not in Georgia?
Yeah, that's Brooke a great
Benton.
Song.
Brooke Benton.
He did Bull Weevil.
Big baritone voice.
I think he did the night the lights went out. He did a lot of great stuff. Ballads. He mainly
sang
ballads. He had a great voice.
So John Denver.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountain High.
And you said about Roger Troutman died early, too.
Yeah, he got killed by his own brother.
Did that kill him?
I forget.
No, the brother killed himself right afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, was Zapp still living?
Well, I mean, he's...
That was the name of the group.
He had a brother named... They called Zapp.
I didn't know they called him.
They got a brother named Zapp.
Let me see.
But John
they had a brother
was
named...
gunned down, like the other one.
No, he was a plane down. But
an
I mean,
ultralight. He was up there in an ultralight. That's a $100 airplane. Nobody should be in the air in a $100 airplane.
Mike, why not? we go up in the air on a parachute, and we jump out of, you know, perfectly good planes. We talked about that yesterday. Why not?
Please.
And as a matter of fact, the pilot that landed...
Roger. Lester.
No, Lester the drummer. That's not Zapp.
Well, that's...
That's who killed
that's
Roger.
Whoa, Lester trapped Roger?
No. No, Lester's traveling with the group now.
Oh,
he has the group.
Oh, I knew that. I thought you were
telling
me.
I'm just saying. I don't know I don't know the other brothers like that.
Because Lester played... Lester was the drummer.
Yeah. I can't remember because...
Go ahead, Jeff. I'm sorry.
No, that was okay. I wasn't going to say anything important.
I was wondering if they ever found out who knifed Sal Mineo in that person's
Sal
garage.
Mineo? Mike!
Oh, that's old.
I'm just curious. It seems like all these people die tragically, you know?
Mike!
Tracy don't know nobody.
Who in the heck is a Sal Mineo?
He's famous for raising tropical fish. He was a recording artist, and he was in all kinds of bad boy movies in the 50s. He was up there with James Dean and all that. He was in all these
Jimmy Dean.
Of age heartthrob movies. Yeah, he was up there with James Dean.
How old was Blue Eyes when he died?
How old was who?
Blue Eyes.
Frank? Oh, he was in his 80s. He was like 84, 85.
And Sammy
wasn't
stayed around a long
old.
Time.
And then we'll forget the eulogy for Sammy Davis Jr.
What did he say?
Sal Mineo was in the movies.
Mike, why are you trying to bring people in that we ain't talking about? We're talking about people who
died. He's not a thing in the movies.
It's all people in the entertainment world. And
but,
singing
we ain't talking about people in entertainment. We're not talking about people in the entertainment world. We're talking about people that sang.
Yeah, but Tracy, I mean, you got to admit that the eulogy for Sammy Davis Jr. was rather colorful, wasn't it? Before Sidney, could be Sidney. Before Cosby, could be Cosby. Sammy had to be Sammy. Speaking of unemployed minorities.
Okay.
I need.
All right, all right, all right.
I need him.
Amente, how you doing?
Oh,
turn
I'm
your
doing
mic on.
Good.
I'm
doing
I'm
good.
I'm gonna bring. I'm gonna bring you into the conversation and let you change it because they didn't go long. They mine over here. We bringing up people that's gone too soon. We're doing people that's gone too soon in the music industry because if you look at it, there's a whole group of people that have died way too soon and might bring in Salamente.
Salamanio.
That's what I said.
Salamander.
That's what I'm saying. Salamander
Fish. Recording artist. I thought Salamanio was in the music.
It said actor in Wikipedia.
It says that he was in the. Movies more, and then, he may have done because you had where I don't remember him being in the Exodus, so I think he might have sang.
He might have lifted that thing. So and then you're bringing up people that don't nobody know who they are, and I'm just trying to find out.
I can't.
At the Salamander.
Well, Jeff had to tell you who Brooke Benton was. I'm surprised you didn't know who he was, Tracy. I mean, how young are you?
She should have known, and she asked her mama. Her mama would probably faint too.
It's before my time. I was talking about. Listen.
Everything's before your time. Oh,
before
crazy.
My time.
Everything.
I can't help. I'm that young.
Happy was before your time.
No. Happy
yeah,
was before
no,
my
happy
time. Happy, happy, happy.
You spent so many years becoming a Republican. You don't know what's been going on.
That's right. I live a sheltered life.
Well, guess what? Then since
what?
Sheltered life. Guess who's getting married?
Chris Landers and Melanie Rudolph. They got married.
Really?
It was on Facebook.
Oh, Chris, that's what that was. Okay. No, that's not what I mean.
Who's
that's local people.
Oh, who's
nobody
getting married?
Else in the country.
They're going to get me for doing that. But if they put it on the internet, that means it's public. Oh, he got married to his partner, Elton John.
Getting married.
I thought he got married.
No.
Oh. His partner?
His partner.
Yeah, he got rid of his wife a couple years ago and started backing up. So now,
why did he have a wife?
The term beard come to mind?
Well, he was bisexual, you know. I mean,
I don't think he was bi.
He said he was bisexual.
I don't think he was bi. He been frilly for a minute. Hey, listen, I'm gonna change this stuff for real.
I need some of his clothes for the stage now because he had some cold stuff on today.
We didn't realize that he got good taste when it comes to a good suit.
Paul
Ryan.
Okay.
Speaking of which, there are some people that I know, and I'm not gonna call their names out. But there's some men that I have run into, and their taste in fabric of suits, I just want to hold the back of their shoulder because it's still the fabric of their suit. They know how to find a good suit that falls right. I just thought I'd throw that out there because y'all know I got issues.
I got issues too, but you should have heard this foolish stuff I heard yesterday.
You didn't tell me during the break.
Oh, man. I'll tell you.
You got to tell me during the break.
All right, I'll tell you next time.
But I was supposed to be there. They didn't call out the precinct, the central committee, did they? Because I didn't show up.
No.
I didn't think they were going to vote for me.
Oh, yeah, they did. They got the Democrat lady from running for central committee. I don't know.
It wasn't Joyce? Because Joyce is running too.
Yeah, it must have been Joyce Kiel. Yeah.
Joyce Kielpester?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't show up because guess what? They wasn't voting. They're not going to pull a Republican ballot
out. No, it don't matter.
So why would I go and take my time to go over there for them to tell me, oh, sorry, we can't. No.
They were asking judges questions
that they couldn't answer.
You ain't really allowed to even just do that.
You can ask them a question. They can't answer it.
They ain't allowed to answer it.
Are you sure they were asking as opposed to axing questions?
Well, some of them were axing. But some
there y'all go. No. Amente, what do you, honey, hi, South Carolina. Amente, tell me you've got a good topic for us.
Well, yes,
well,
today is
I've got a good topic for you.
No, Amente, hold on, South Carolina. Go ahead, Amente.
And today in New York City, today is the test, the Common Core test. And in some parts of the club, I don't know exactly where, but there are some parents that are not letting those children take the test today for the Common Core test. And my children are small. My daughter's only in the first grade. But it starts in the third grade and up for this Common Core test, and it's so is such a brutal test. But a lot of these parents, they said their children, their children are not taking it. And a news anchor, I don't recall her name right now, on Channel 5, she was saying that this is something that the private schools have been doing. But, you know, she's saying it's something private school has been doing, and it's time for the public schools to get on it and learn how to do it too. But the argument with her, as my other PSA co-worker would say, is the argument is not so much of the test, but we understand that the third graders, the little children, we understand that you're giving a test to them and you're starting it all over. But for the children who are like in fifth grade and up, this is actually more of a challenge for them because this is all brand new to them. So it's going to be more challenging for those children to pass it in more nerve-wracking. So that's what's going on right now. This Common Core test is really a problem.
It's Common Core is a problem, period.
Yeah,
and,
these parents, not cutting you off, just the parents who are not letting their children take the test, I feel for them. I hope these children do not get sent back in the same grade because of the parents' choices.
Well, ain't no telling what might happen. No telling what might happen, that's for sure.
Most likely won't happen if enough protest that way, because they can't have an empty next year and then three times more kids in the previous year.
Right.
So they probably won't do anything as long as... That's the problem with being the first, like Martin Luther King, until you look behind you and say, oh, there is some people following me. I'm not the only target, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, Mike. Right. South Carolina, what are we going
to
say?
If you really want to find out what's at the core of this thing, go to the commoncorestandards.org and read some of the rationale. I mean, here's one of the math questions it tells you. It says, apply properties of operations and strategies to add and subtract. If 8 plus 3 equals 11 is known, then 3 plus 8 is also known. That's cumulative property of addition. However, to add 2 plus 6 plus 4, all right, the way that we would add it, we'd add a 2 and a 6, that'd be 8, and then you'd add the 4, and that would equal to 12, all right? But they're telling them the second two numbers can be added to make 10, okay, and then you add the 2. The 2 is at the front, which makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I'm sitting here looking at a Common Core worksheet.
Yeah.
And problem number 1 is 1 plus 5. And it says match each addition equation to its equivalent, each quotation to its visual equivalent.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this, and I am so confused.
John Dewey's rolling over, and John Dewey's running in hell right now.
I mean, seriously, seven plus 3 is 10, right?
Yep.
Right.
Am I getting that right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
So why would I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 one strawberry and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 strawberries? How do I get to 10 out of that?
See, the thing is, my child is very very well in when it comes to math and science. She's a little genius, and I'm glad for that because I struggle with math. I don't really have so much of a problem with the math. I think it pushes the children to think more. I don't really have a problem so much with the math aspect of it. I think my concern is how they're teaching children to read and how to teach the English alphabet, stuff like that. That's where my concern comes in, and that's just me. Even though the math is kind of like a little wild, but it teaches children patterns, because I was looking at it yesterday. It teaches them how to recognize patterns of this plus this and this minus this, and it teaches them how to calculate in their head more as well. So, and that's just my opinion.
It teaches you think how to think like a computer.
That's what they're designed to do.
Well, good. I mean, good. The children, I would be glad for the children to start making apps. I told my daughter to create an app. You know, what kind of app do you want to make? She doesn't know yet.
No.
You're mixing that up. They're teaching you binary code, they're teaching you how to think how a computer thinks.
I got a better idea.
But you have to have a. You have to know the real answer, though, because I work in electronics. It's all about adding, multiplication, and algebra. You can't say 2 plus 5 equals 12 just because you want it to be and expect an electronic circuit to do what you want it to do.
It's not going to do it.
I'm going to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600.
You put the wrong parameter in a hexadecimal equation and see what happens.
Yeah.
I work with this stuff.
This is not gonna work.
That Common Core attitude is not going to work. It's not going to cut it. We're going to raise a bunch of idiots.
I know.
It's 11 o'clock.
See, now South Carolina, on that equation, that 2, 6, 4, if they then said, or you could add up the two outside ones, which equals 6, and then add to 6 come to 12, showing them how that you can all – that it totally makes sense, it's not arbitrary, and that there's a definite – you know, you could add that number up any way you can, front to back, back to front, middle, inside, out. Well, I'd have no problem with that. But to do what you said, yeah, that makes –
well,
that's
well,
more
yeah.
–
which way
–
here's
what they're doing. We add from left to right.
Correct.
The way this thing is showing, they want you to add from right to left, which is not an American ideology. It's a what ideology?
Middle Eastern.
It's Middle Eastern ideology.
Yeah. Well,
that's how that works, folks.
Did you see that movie on women, violence against women, that now the Muslims are trying to get suppressed on college campuses here in the United States? They're showing it was done by a bunch of Muslim women about what Sharia law means to them. And stuff, and the mutilations, and everything else, and colleges in this country are now refusing to show the film because they're saying it's Muslim bashing. When it was the film was created by Muslims to point out the inequities and the way women are treated in the culture.
They're basically outlawing the truth, basically.
Yeah.
What grade was that Common Core question that you read?
That was just a general one. I think it was first grade.
I've never seen an equation like that. I've seen only fill in three boxes.
That is the standard as a teacher would see it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically the teaching standard. My wife's a teacher, and the way Common Core, it took her a whole entire summer to learn how to teach this stuff, and it still, you know, it makes no sense to her. It's just illogical to do it the way they're doing it. I mean, you know, they don't teach phonics anymore. Phonics is something that's not even something that's necessary as far as they're concerned.
That's what I'm talking about with the English. I feel like I'm going to have to eventually, when I get, you know, I'm going to sit down and teach my daughter, because they don't even teach them the importance of the vowels, and they don't teach that alphabet, because it has to be taught, and they want them to read, and it's confusing them. And, yeah, I'm going to help my daughter with that. I'm not really worried.
Yeah. They don't teach synonyms, antonyms. You know, they don't teach them another word for another word.
I'm going to teach her homophones. I'm going to teach her all that, because she gets so confused because she loves words.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when she says words, she's a very smart girl, but she uses them out of context. And then she also she spells words, and she gets the idea of it, but those vowels and stuff confuses her. Like, I have to really teach her English so she can really learn how to write and read her words. They don't do it like that anymore. They don't do it like that.
You know what I've noticed, the mentee too? People today, the kids today, they mix metaphors. You know how when we were kids growing up, it was funny to hear somebody do a malapropism and misuse a word. And, you know, as a joke and stuff, we used to do it all the time. But now they're even mixing metaphors because they don't even know the basic cliches and stuff. Like, I heard somebody yesterday on television, a reporter, say, well, that's pulling the wool out from under them. And I'm going, no,
you guys are
pulling the rug out.
You pull out the rug.
Or pulling the wool over their eyes.
You pull the wool over your eyes.
Yeah, but it's not pulling the wool out from under them.
You guys remember going home from school having a big old stack of books for homework to do when you got home?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, these kids don't have homework anymore. My daughter doesn't have homework, and I don't know how long.
But you know what? That homework, I actually like it the way it is, because the homework, my daughter's also in after school as well, so the homework that she gets to me is already enough work. And my baby gets home like 4 or 5 o'clock from school anyway, every, you know, from what, Monday to Wednesday. So I'm glad that the homework is the way that it is. I wouldn't want it to be more. Only time she has a lot of homework is when she has science, you know.
Well, I'm going to tell you, homework didn't kill me.
No.
And it's not going to kill my grandkids. It didn't kill my kids.
Yeah. I used
they
to walk out the
come
door
home and try and pull it up, pull it, and say, "Well, we didn't get any homework." Oh, yes, you did. I got it right here.
Yep. Well, I used to carry my school books home, even though I was blind and couldn't read any of them. But the teachers were going, "Where's your school books? What about your homework tonight?" Well, these books are readable. I had to carry them darn books.
They had to put brown bags on them too to cover them up.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, that was the fun part. I enjoyed doing projects like that. You know. I used to go and hang around the art room, not because I was a great artist. It was because the old gal who ran the art class, she was like a million years old and stuff, and somebody let the clay go dry, and I just spent the whole semester in school just taking dried clay and pulverizing the dust and putting water back in and kneading it back into real clay so the other kids could do stuff. That
wow.
was more fun to me than you know, monochromatic and bichromatic color scheming and all that when you're blind and going, what, you know? So.
Wow.
She was a great lady, though. She was crazy. She was as crazy as a loon, but she was a kind person. I felt safe in that room because I went and just did what I could do.
But you know what, though? I think they need to take a class in the fundamentals
yes.
of digital logic.
Yes.
Oh, man, that's a fun class.
Well, you know, we started getting that in grammar school in the third grade when they used to give us the word problems in math, where you had to do you had to find what you had for information, you had to figure out the method by which you derived the answer, and then you had to go on to calculate the answer. They used to call it to find, given, and method, and that was a train leaves New York heading west at 50 miles an hour, and the other one leaves L.A. heading east at 45 miles an hour, and you know how long before they hit each other on the track, you know, those kind of problems. And it does teach you how to organize your thoughts and get logical about things, you know?
Yeah, and there was a time, where everybody, every citizen had to know these things. Because
You
wouldn't have time anywhere if you didn't.
One of the funniest things that happened to me as a kid, we had this one neighbor who probably didn't have much education, but he was a factory worker. And he was a good man. He provided for his family and everything else. But he saw us one day struggling over one of these word problems. We had the book out on the back stoop and are all sitting around it trying to figure it out. One train left New York, the other left L.A. When one of the trains got to Chicago, it blew a piston, so it was down for 6 hours before it could get back on the track. You know, how long before the two trains met each other? And he read the problem, and he couldn't help us. So when he came up, and he goes, "Oh, this is one of those darn trick problems." Yeah, he goes, "Yeah, it'll take no 6 hours to change a piston unless it's a union job. It'll take 2 hours tops if you know what you're doing."
That was a good
Oh, it was so funny because we said, so we gave up on it, went to school and told that to the teacher the next day. The teacher said, "Who told you that?" Mr. So-and-so, and the teacher kind of knew him from parent teacher's nights because he'd show up with the same theories as those. And she goes, "All right, I'll give everyone a pass on that, but it's not a trick problem."
Yeah.
Well, here you go.
I marked that one right.
Now, listen to this one.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith and his wife are going to the fair.
Yeah.
Mr. Smith and his wife have 5 sons, 2 daughters, and 3 grandsons.
Okay.
2 dogs and 2 cats.
Okay.
How many people are going to the fair?
Well, how many people are going to the fair? Let's see, that would be the 2 of them, the 5 sons, the 3 grandchildren, and the 2 daughters. What's that? 12.
Mr. Smith and his wife are going to the fair. There's only 2 of them going to the fair.
I see what you're saying. Okay. So that's a good question then, because that's what people don't do today, and I did it again. I did it myself. I didn't listen to the whole question. We got a brand new year. Who can see all the things done?
Hey, we're back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I'm listening to Aretha Franklin today. It's called April Fool's. Today is April 1st, 2014. It's 9 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock.
We haven't fooled anybody.
I think that Christopher, Chris Landers and Melanie
uh-huh.
is an April Fool's joke.
Really?
Yeah. Because it went too fast.
Chrissy, it went too fast.
The number 347-945-5229. I'll pull up the calls in just a second. But it went too fast. I mean, it went from we never saw engaged. We never saw, you know, in a relationship. We just said married. And I was like,
I don't know. We might have seen some of that.
No. I think they're trying to get us.
Miss Tracy?
Yes, sir.
I'd like to address the Common Core issue in New York.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Breathe. We're talking about April Fool's for at least 2 minutes.
All right.
You want to jump back in the Common Core and get in the thick of things. Woosaw.
Sorry. It's the English in me. Sorry.
You know, I got to be careful of you because I say some words and I'm not allowed to say them on the radio. And I need to set something off the wall.
That's because of possible pomposity. That's funny.
You laughing at your own joke, Jeff?
Yes. Okay, I'm laughing.
You laughing at
no,
your own
I'm
joke.
At,
I mean, you only got tickled by your own joke.
This gets me is just he'll just grab a word and throw it out there. Nobody
pomposity.
Uses it, but it fits absolutely perfectly in that place.
That's the English in
there. No, that's not the English in.
I love his command of the English language, especially when he goes on those little monologue rants that he does where he strings three words together. You know, the da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da of the da-da-da-da, and it's all great words. Everyone fits, and it's awesome. And I'm going, you got to rehearse that in the shower or something. You didn't just make that up.
I'm going to produce some one-minute spots, man.
Oh, that would be awesome.
We had traffic in on the house floor, but we're going to put these on the radio.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold up, guys. Pomposity. That's a new word for the day. When Eric comes, we get a new word. So I want everybody to lose pomposity all day long in a sentence. You pomposity?
No.
What? You are a pompous pomposity.
Your pomposity just irks me.
That's right. I'm Gary. Leave all y'all in a minute, and I'm gonna go to Rotary, and I'm gonna use the word pomposity.
Yeah,
I just don't know how, but I'm gonna find a way all day long. Cause they tell me if you want to build your vocabulary, you need to use the word 10 times a day.
Oh yeah.
So I got pomposity, and I'm gonna say it all the way through the day. Pomposity, you pompous pomposity.
Yeah, you're gonna have.
No, pomposity is not a noun.
Why can't I use it wrong? Well, nobody know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, they will.
No, they won't.
At Rotary,
well,
they
have
will.
A feeling that by the time today is over and she's used pomposity, it will be an atrocity because of her verbosity.
Listen, pomposity is a state of being pompous. So why can't you be a pompous pomposity?
No, because
you can't call somebody is one.
Why can't you be a pompous pomposity?
You can say that someone is the quintessential embodiment of pomposity.
Yes.
Quintessential.
Hold on, Eric, is there another word for ASS?
Well, I tend to frequent the word troglodyte, which is a fancy word for cave dweller.
No. Is there another word for it? See, if you give me another word. Because that's what's wrong with people today. They curse instead of building their vocabulary to get their point across.
Well, I would use the word curmudgeon.
Why, sir, your pomposity makes you a wild butt.
You can't use the other one.
You can't use
the other one. Disassociate with Capitol Hill.
Everyone on Capitol Hill is a pomposity.
No, they're not a pomposity.
The pomposity of the dwellers on Capitol Hill is enough to gag a maggot. Okay, something like that.
Eric flows. I got to find another word, huh?
Well, Eric.
I was contemplating dating a girl several years ago. okay? And I used that on her. She tried to be a bit high-handed with me.
And I said high-handed with her. Okay, okay. I'm not gonna...
No, she was high-handed with me, and I came back at her, and I said, you know, your pomposity is unfounded in light of the fact that there are banana trees in the river basin of the Upper Congo that have had fewer chimpanzees climbing into them. That was short. Needless to say, she and I haven't talked since.
Did she smack you? I think you've used that one.
Did she smack you?
Said that one.
What'd you say, South Carolina?
Not after that.
After saying that.
Oh, I smacked.
Oh, no. No.
She didn't know what pomposity meant. You gotta know. Listen, you gotta understand. If you are a diplomat and you're using words like pomposity, and what was the other word last week?
Mitigated umbrage.
No, something else. It was another word, another four syllable word. And so when you use a high vocabulary, you walk away and you really don't know what the person said, and then you go, I think they just told me off. See, if you call me out in a normal word that has a color superlative, then it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But when you use stuff that has four syllables and you say something, I don't know whether to slap you or kiss you because pomposity could be anything.
Well, one of my influences during my teenage years was Dorothy Spornak from The Golden Girls, portrayed by Bea Arthur, the late Bea Arthur. And her command was sublime. And it belies the notion that one must be of English heritage to command the English language mellifluously. It really really belies that note. Really flies
in
the face of stereotype.
You done gone too far, baby. You done gone too far. You done taken it to another level. He didn't use four syllable words within a sentence.
Well, let's sit down and ameliorate the situation.
That's one of the $28 sentences, and we can put it on your Visa or MasterCard because you can't afford the kind of money it takes to talk like that.
Oh, no, there's something you wanted to bring up about Common Core and that you found during the break.
Well, my theory is, and this is centuries ago, the French philosopher Voltaire reminded us that it is difficult to free fools from the chains they revere. I say that to say this. When the belief in the reliance on God's providence has been supplanted by the belief in the inerrancy of the state and the reliance upon the state to take care of us and tell us what to think, then issues or covert stratagems like Common Core are easier to pull off. There is no way in the other. The idea is just another device used by the radical left in these ivory tower think tanks dominated by the left to manipulate the way people think. It's a control mechanism. Now, South Carolina, what do you think about that?
Now, I want to ask Amenti, because she's the one who brought it up. What do you think about that, Amenti?
As far as what he just said?
Yeah, about them trying to control people's thoughts.
Oh, man.
Their thought processes.
See, the thing is, from my experience, I see my child excelling in school, maybe because my child loves school, maybe because I have a smaller child and she's coming from this generation or children that's coming in this generation. I actually see something where the children are actually excelling, and that's just my personal opinion, but I'm feeling for the parents who have children in a higher grade, who have children who are the fifth grade, the sixth, the high school. I feel more for those parents because this is so new to their children. They're not growing up. They're just putting it on them, as opposed to my child, who pretty much she's getting it now like a little sponge until she gets to high school. That's just my opinion, my insight.
I agree. I feel sorry for the family or the people, because a lot of people don't even know what we're talking about. We don't know that they're changing the curriculum. We don't. They don't know. They're so disengaged. I mean, I look at our school board and how inept they are.
The parents don't see, Tracy. Being that I work with the PSA at the school this year, I have learned a lot tremendously, and I learned more so about these children and parents. There's some parents that they try to come, they try to learn stuff, they ask questions, right? But then there are the parents that they don't come to the meetings, they don't come to anything, But yet they get angry when the child fails, when the teacher, you understand, when stuff is in their face, when they get the paperwork, when people are talking to them. But those are the parents that want to only come around when something, then they feel something is not right with their child. You know?
See, what I'm saying to you is, my problem is you have a school board who governs the policy of the students in your district, and they don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's like they don't. It's like Nancy Pelosi said, they pass the bill to see what's in it. They do the same thing, you know.
The principal, from my understanding, the principal at my daughter's school, she looks to be pretty on point with a lot of things. Like, cause she's the one who explained so much to me about the testing, the scoring, and the other teachers. So, you know, I understand what you're saying too. And just like the brother was speaking about his wife, that she had a hard time. And I had another woman social networking. She's a teacher, and she said the same thing about that testing as well. So I'm not going to disagree with what you're saying. I'm not, you know, I'm going to just take that back. I'm not going to disagree with that.
But I want to say that you were right about the older kids not liking Common Core, because I can tell you from personal experience, my daughter's a senior this year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad, because she hates Common Core.
Yeah, because it's not fair. They threw it at her. They just completely threw it at her. And it's like, if you want to say, let's start third grade with Common Core, and then this generation of children coming up is going to do Common Core, then it's more, we can understand that. Because then, like I said, this is my child is small. My child is just going, I'm just going to have to put that work in so she can pass these tests. But for those who've been doing it the way they've been doing it for so long, and then now they just throw in Common Core on them, it's not fair. That's my argument with it. It's not fair.
But the entire advent of Common Core, you know, tacitly endorses the lie, not the misnomer, but the malignant lie, that there was something critically flawed in the educational, in the way, you know, previous generations were educated, and that is not the case. Nothing could be further from the truth. The problem the promulgators of Common Core have with the way we older people were educated is that we are less amenable. We are less inclined to march in lockstep with this Rasputin on steroids method that they have in terms of brainwashing children. It's part of the dumbing down phenomena.
This is the second time.
This
has been going on for years. Because remember, when I first started school, they took phonetics out. Then they brought phonetics back in. And people were not as engaged because there was no internet. There was no common communication source where they could actually have a conversation about it. So people really did not know what was going on, and they may or may not have been reporting it as accurately as they should have.
As accurately as they should have. That's an understatement, Tracy.
But today, we are telling it, but people still do not understand that the changing of the curriculum will harm their children.
At the proportional level, we are far less educated. We're some of the brightest minds in our society today would be branded as idiots compared to the academia or the scholasticism of the 19th century. I mean, here's a good case in point. I'll say this real quick. I read some mathematic equations from a prolific mathematics professor from Virginia who was actually Robert E. Lee's maverick general, Confederate General Daniel Harvey Hill. He was also devoutly Presbyterian, and I can tell you, I'll tell you point blank, that if he was one-tenth as adroit in theology as he was in mathematics, your strongest theologians today would get stumped by him.
But again, we are, if you graduated from high school in 1923,
women's,
you had the equivalency of a bachelor's degree in college.
Mm-hmm.
You graduated when?
In 1923 from high school.
Exactly.
And if you look at what those guys did, they did everything by hand because they were farmers. They had to know the math. They had to know how to plant. They had to know a lot of things about a lot of things. Today, what'd you say, Eric?
That's what I was saying about electronics and mathematics. You can't say 3 plus 2 equals 8 just because you wanted to and expect the circuit to function properly.
No, that's true. But they're not saying that you get that answer right. they say that if you can explain how you got there, then you'll get some credit for that question, which doesn't make much sense. But at the same time, you have to take into consideration that they are still not teaching you to be totally accurate. They want you to think in gray lines, not in black and white.
And that's a problem because some things are gray and they're not black and white.
Here's a perfect example. They had a big 4.8 magnitude quake out in Yellowstone. Well, here's one thing. If people believed what the say in religious teachings, and they believed what the Bible says, it says if you start doing things like as the heathen of the world do, the land that you're on is going to spew you out. Well, you're having a ton of stuff happen. You're having storms, superstorms, all this other stuff. They're blaming it on everything else but the conduct of the people in the country. And they don't want you to ever think like that. They don't ever want you to think that, it can't possibly be God telling us that we're wrong. or nature telling us that we're wrong. It's global warming. Yeah, because they don't want
you to have a conscience.
There's no deductive nor inductive reason.
There is
not.
If there is no conscience, then I can tell you wrong is right and right is wrong, and you will say okay. There's a lot of things that's going wrong in America today that we call okay and we call right. And we just don't get it, whether it be math or whether it be science.
Yeah, even though it was Saturday Night Live, I never thought I would see the President of the United States in a parody kissing another man.
Did you see that?
It wasn't him, was it?
No, it wasn't him.
No,
it was
the
parody.
Yeah, well.
And why would we allow that?
Let's not move too far past what things have been reported from the past.
Doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter. The question
is, you're going to evangelize.
Did you see the picture of Michelle Obama yesterday in the Washington Times?
Mm-mm.
Eating a sandwich, and they caught her with her mouth open trying to eat something like a big Five Guys hamburger, and it's greasy, and you got it slight, and your mouth is open. They published her with her mouth open trying to get this sandwich in her mouth. Now, look at what we're saying. You've never seen a president's wife.
And that kind of taste.
And I blame the media, for one, because you catch some bad photos, and it's not about how she was eating it. It was about the photo when you've taken it, and why would you release it?
Yeah, they have several of them of her like that. That's true.
Why do you do that? Now, I may disagree with them and her on a lot of things. But when you talk about the parody, why would you do that? Why would you defame the house like that? And no one say anything?
I hear you.
It does speak to a moral lapse, doesn't it?
It speaks to American society. I'm not a Saturday Night Live fan, but that speaks to an immoral society who has no consciousness, who has no respect for the office or the people.
Yeah, I didn't watch the show either. I watched this clip on your Facebook page, and that's how I knew about it.
Well, I saw it, and I said, "Are you kidding me?" And what makes it so bad? You don't hear anybody saying anything about it, on the left or on the right. Why would you not say anything?
What are you talking about Black Jeopardy?
Who's Black Jeopardy?
That's
Black
another
Jeopardy
SNL skit.
No, we're talking about when they healthcare.gov. parody on Saturday Night Live. Did you see it?
Hey, yeah, twerking.
it was twerking, wasn't it? I've laughed at many a president joke, but do we not realize that when we laugh at him, we laugh at us? Because he is not a person, he's an institution.
As morally outrageous as it was, for any president, the official or the chief steward of the Constitution to refer in an open speech to the Constitution as, and I quote, an imperfect document. That flies in the face of morality. Two wrongs don't make a right. That does not excuse the disrespect that is shown to the institution of the Oval Office itself, because we are looked widely upon. Everybody in the world is watching how we regard the office.
So we get mad when they make a mockery of the president, and they take him and the first lady, and they make them look like monkeys over in Brussels. So now we got an issue. Why would they do that? And we're outraged.
Yeah. By the same token, you know, it just speaks to the whole standard, of toleration being raised to dangerous levels.
We've done this to ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And the people in charge are okay with it, because I don't see any backlash from the White House about that.
I just don't see why we're so silent. I mean, Common Core, you've got people in position, and we're still silent. And the conversation is very, very limited. You've got the erosion of morality, and the president is pushing marijuana and homosexuality, but no one says anything about it. You've got churches on the sidelines. You've got people, you know, we call things racism that are not racism, but when racism shows up, we don't do anything about it. The Washington Post puts a picture of a president's wife up there in an unflattering way.
And that's not a relatively new phenomenon. I mean, look at the way when Jefferson Davis was trying to elude capture, they portrayed him in a shawl and petticoat, and that's not what he had on. Or the way the political enemies of Andrew Jackson, and I'm no fan of Andrew Jackson, the way they lambasted him because his wife Rachel had been married before and the divorce wasn't finalized. And that struck such a deep chord, or a deep chord of melancholia, that Jackson and a lot of people, myself included, regarded that whole thing as that which contributed to Rachel's death. He loved Rachel. He really did. I'm sorry. What did I?
Well, he just gave the details. It was
he came. I just quit trying.
I like the information, but
I like
too far.
Guy. I like him.
But
no, he didn't.
He went too far.
He's good.
I was just
you were just pontificating what you were thinking.
No. I was just trying to reinforce the point that, you know, that kind of mudslinging is not.
But it's not. But
not a new phenomenon. But this is over the top. The
but this has
riot.
Gone too far.
Yeah, the monkey thing.
This has gone too far.
But when we have a president who.
But the president's gone too far.
exactly. Thank you.
Hold
but
on.
Two wrongs
hold
don't
on.
Make it right.
I had a call coming up. Y'all got to follow my lead because now they're gone. I'm sorry. 720 was gone. I don't know. I have no idea who they. Oh, 720,
yeah.
Your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes.
It's Mark. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I want to comment on your conversation a little bit with this. You know, I think it says a lot for conservatives that we're able to look at what Saturday Night Live did and say, you know what, it's wrong. Because we have been at the receiving end of it for the last 5 years, if not longer, being portrayed as Hitler, Nazis, racists, child killers, women haters, and, you know, it's wrong. And what these guys have done on Saturday Night Live goes to my point. Within the liberal community, there's probably more racists than anywhere else. They just hide it good. But when it wants to come out, it comes out.
You're right.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Absolutely right.
Because it was just wrong. It
I mean,
was just hateful.
The skit they showed on television had him look like a super fly pimp. I was floored. I almost fell out of my chair. You know, there's other people in the rest of the world watching this stuff. I just don't get it.
Oh, yeah. Bill Maher called him President Rerun, and no one said a doggone thing.
And no one says a word. But then I'm sitting here and I'm going, wait a minute. I disagree with a lot of his policies. I disagree with a lot that he does. But this was just file. And they
well,
just and when what'd you say?
You're going to see a lot more of this because they want Hillary. They're going to throw this guy under the bus. The novelty of an African American president is worn off. Now they're moving on to the next thing, and it's going to get worse before it gets better.
But when are they going to, I mean, hold on,
So when are they going to call foul, and when are they going to call racism, and when are they going to call, you know, they've gone too far? When are they going to do that like they would? Because every time we say something about his policy and we're spot on, then we're a racist because we disagree with him.
Yeah, you know, you are. And see, that's the whole thing.
Our president needs to call Jesse Jackson and all those race baiters and say, hey, why aren't you contacting that Belgium newspaper defending us?
Mike, and they're not going to do that. Jesse, ain't nobody going to call Jesse them out. You just wanted to say something.
And what gets me is they have the power. They can reach enough people to shut that newspaper down from over here in America, but they don't care. This just doesn't fit their narrative.
I'm not worried about Jesse Jackson, or I don't want to deal with Jesse Jackson or anyone else suspected of having a hand in Martin Luther King's death. Not that King was a saint, but this is something again that transcends. There was a certain grip in this country about transcendent plenary moral truths, and unless or until we get back to that, you're going to keep on dealing with stuff like this, in and out of the Oval Office.
Yeah, these folks have no shame. I don't even know what makes them tick. I want to say that's their ideology. I don't think that's it. These people just like to be right, and I think there's a degree of narcissism that comes with these folks that do this sort of thing. It's a shame for the nation, because if ever there was a time where we needed a good conversation as to the issues, it's now. And we just aren't getting it.
I think it reflects not only hypocrisy but moral cowardice on the part of a lot of black Americans to, on the one side, not recoil in angst at the notion of Common Core educational initiatives.
They don't even know. That's the point. Remember, people are ignorant to what is going on around them in their homes because of their passive, lackadaisical attitude towards life.
That's no excuse.
It is an excuse if you're lazy.
But by the same token, that doesn't stop them from marching in lockstep with anything in the rhetorical vein.
They don't know any better.
Like the end of the Malcolm X movie.
They mobilize. Listen,
As Brother Malcolm said, we declare our right to live on this earth.
Listen, we are mobilized. They're talking about voter suppression, but you didn't hear a word about suppress and or vote last year. So explain that. We are zombies, and they wake us up with a clarion call when they want us, and then they lull us back to sleep when they get done.
It's like I said, back in 2008, week before the election, I was getting people knocking on my door 3 times a day telling me to make sure I go out and vote. And you know who they were telling you to vote for.
And they accidentally got you on, they accidentally knocked on your door because they didn't know you better. Private caller, your mic is on.
Unlisted caller.
Hello?
You hit the... Go ahead. Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I was just listening to your show, and I just want to tell you thank you. I agree with you 100% about what you were saying when you talked about Obama and Saturday Night Live and with Michelle Obama and all of this kind of thing. And you know, what's so sad is people don't understand that all of these policies and everything that's going on and how the moral decline is hitting hard right now. But see, it's always going to be, no matter what's going on, if it's an issue in the country, it's always going to be the people at the bottom who's going to get it the worst. It's going to hit us the worst. It's going to impact us the worst because the people at the top, they're more secure. They don't have to be right in contact with what's going on. And we never, and black people specifically, we never rise up against that. We never say anything. We never speak out about anything. And the sad part about it is, you know, Obama, I voted for him in the first election. But after that, I was done because I feel like he did not do anything to progress us, for one, as a nation, but as the black community either. You know, we had all this history of all these white presidents, and as black people, all the things that we've been through, he put nothing in place
that he knew would benefit the black community. And then he recently just did this initiative or what have you. But, I mean, the whole term, his whole 2 terms, did nothing for us. And yet you have so many black people that have allegiance to him. And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's been just along with all the rest of them. I'm not a Democrat or Republican. I am, you know, I'm just out here, I guess, so to speak. But it's just disgusting. And, you know, we're being pushed with gay marriage. We're being pushed with everything. And nobody is stopping to look. What about our morals? What about how we feel about things? We don't care anymore.
No.
Well said.
Very well said.
Well,
absolutely.
I agree. You know, I agree with the same thing about all the black-on-black and crime in the communities. When are we going to reach a moral point morally where we understand that it's just wrong to shoot one another over dumb stuff?
Yes.
Well, you've taught your children that there is no sanctity of a life. Life doesn't mean anything if we can cut it out before it even starts to grow good, you know. And if you go to church, this is what always irks me and bothers me. You have people that, oh, I'm a Christian. I go to church every Sunday. I do this, that, and other. But yet when you deal with these subjects, they will not stand up and say a doggone word.
Nope.
They will not. They will not tell. Go ahead.
I just want to tell y'all real quick, and I'm working on right now a documentary about homosexuality in the black community and how it's hitting very hard in the black community. And right now the black men are being pushed in a way to be more effeminate, and it's a lot going on with that. And one of the things I talked about and I was talking with some other people about is the black church. And the black church, after the civil rights movement, the black church has been one of the biggest failures to the black community.
Yep.
And a lot of, and I actually was talking to some gay black men about this. And that's what some of them told me where they first learned a lot of things about gay life or homosexuality was in the church. And the black church has helped facilitate a lot of this in our community, because every time you turn around, it's a minister, a pastor who's doing this, who's doing that. And they even have churches now, and these are black churches, where they have a pastor who's gay, and they call his partner, his man, is the first gentleman.
Down in Atlanta.
The first gentleman. And I looked this up. It's churches in Atlanta and in Washington, D.C., and one in California. And it's a few of them. And they're sitting up there posing with their Bible and posing in the church together. And I said, this is what's being put out there in our community. So if we go into the church and we're still not getting anything good there, where can we go? And you look, you talk about what somebody was just saying about, do you see the same people go to church and they never stand up to say anything? Same thing. If you look at, you go to church, and a lot of young women my age, I'm 28, a lot of young women my age and younger, they go to church every Sunday, and you see them over the years. They start out with one baby or pregnant, and over the years they got another one and another one. Never get married. Just continue on having babies out of wedlock, no foundation, no family, build it for the children. What are you getting in church then? What are you coming every Sunday if you stand in the same condition? And nobody says anything.
Let me say,
I haven't been back to church since they told me to vote for Obama.
And let me say, hold on, y'all. And don't get me wrong, I'm with you. We have become a organization of emotional frenzy. It's a feel good moment with a motivational speech instead of a spiritual transformation that goes on inside of a pew where you have an interaction with God.
Right.
And because your leadership has sold his soul to the dollar, he doesn't preach the truth. And so it is now time for those people who have a God consciousness as well as a relationship with God to unite together to say, you know what, things are changing and things have changed, and I will not follow anyone who's going to send me to hell. The Bible says, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. But the day you stop following Christ is the day I stop following you. And we're going to have to start making the hard decisions about picking up and leaving and going to find the relationship with Jesus Christ so that we can have a oneness with him. And then like-minded spirits will find each other because we're magnets, because we're all of one body, all of one spirit, and all of one God in Christ Jesus. And so we need to take that. I'm done. I'm almost done, Eric. But we need to take that mindset. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So we need to take the mind of Christ and walk in it and have our spiritual intuition around so that we will be able to find like-mindedness. Because how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so we need to agree with that. Because right now, as we walk into this new life in the side of this new one world order, things are not going to be as we thought, because we thought they were going to tell us don't go to church. They're going to tell us go to church, but we're not going to teach you anything.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
What were you saying, Eric?
I was saying that, I'm a Christian person. I do believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in God. Well, I felt that when I was being lectured on politics, when that's not why I was there, I realized that this is not the house of Jesus. This is not this is not what he wanted.
And they used the church. They said, I was looking up some information, but people were saying that certain, political groups, of course, will, go to people like T.D. Jakes or big pastors, and they donate money to the church and so on and so forth under the radar. And then these people can get up in front of the church and encourage hundreds of people at a time to vote a certain way. And, again, like you said, you're in church for your spiritual benefits. And we're not going there for political issues. That needs to be dealt with in a different realm. And if anything, you should not be encouraging anyone to vote any certain way. It's their decision. But, see, we're mixing too many different things into the church nowadays. There's no purity. There's no clarity in the church. Because like you said, everybody's doing whatever they want to do in the real world, Then they come in church, and you see them doing whatever they want to do. Then they come in church, and they're trying to teach you something. And what people don't understand is when you put people in a position of authority, basically, and they're able to teach other people, those people have to be worthy of that position. So when we have all these gay people in the church, what is that reflecting to the people that they're teaching? What is that reflecting to young men who are, having some issues or unsure? And they say, you can y'all be gay.
It's not so much of the allowing gay people into church as it is that they're not teaching the people what it is to the Christian and then how to deal with it. Because, I may be a kleptomaniac, which is a psychological situation, okay? But what does that mean that I now make a community and have kleptomaniac rights? We got the right to steal, whatever we want to because it is. No, you have to bring that behavior under control. Bible says, certain things you just don't do. And so we have to decide whether we're going to be on God's side or not, and that's what we haven't done.
I want to say, and then I'll let you guys go. But I told you about my documentary I'm working on, and I've gotten so much resistance in the black community because nobody wants to talk about this issue. And when I tell people that. Really, the black community actually has the largest percentage of LGBT people in our community. We have the largest percentage of any of the race. Yes, absolutely. And in fact, I was reading in a Charlotte paper, and they were talking about it,
and they said that the numbers are likely much higher because it's a lot of black men who mess around and do things, but they won't admit that they won't say they're gay. Down low, exactly. They won't admit that they won't ever say that they are. So the numbers are likely much higher. But yet nobody's saying anything. Everybody's acting like it's not happening. And people don't know that they just came out with a study that says if a gay black man has sex by the time he's 18 with another man, he will have HIV, most of them, okay, more than 50%, most of them will have HIV before they turn 30.
Right.
And this is real. And I know people that have passed away from HIV in their 20s. And see, nobody's talking about this.
Yeah,
they're coming out with medicines.
Yeah,
they're coming out with medicines now for them to take. They're supposed to help them not get HIV. But see, nobody corrects the behavior. They're going to say, well, here, just wear a condom, but they're not wearing condoms, clearly, with the disease rates. And then on top of that, then they say, well, now take this medicine, and it'll help keep you from possibly getting HIV. It doesn't guarantee it, but it might help you keep from getting it. But that's the thing that I talked about gay people, and they got mad, they got upset with me, and they wanted to stop the conversation because I said, nobody talks about the behavior. Nobody talks about the actual things that y'all do in the bedroom. Maybe that's not right.
But not only that, look at all the kids that are born out of wedlock. That tells you it's an epidemic of unprotected sex in the black community as well. You don't want to talk about it.
They want you to do this. You have to understand.
Condoms don't break that much.
They don't. But here's the thing. Why do you think that there's a doubling down on making sure that people can get abortions to the point of where they'll take to the Supreme Court the right of the church to not supply the things that they feel are wrong? Here it is. This is just the church does not make up a majority of people in America. They make up a percentage. And they hire only so many people a year. You do not have to have, if your organization is Christian, you should not be made. If you're a Christian, you should not be made to supply things that you disagree with.
Amen.
This is crazy.
And then with gay marriage, they're telling you, you cannot turn these people away. If you are a baker or whatever, you can't turn them away.
Well, yeah, that's what they're saying. And once again, we're sitting up here and we're accosted by our own government, So, they're not trying to help us do anything. They're trying to make sure that we do what they want us to do. And if this government is supposed to be of, for, and by the people, that's where we have to stop this. This should not be.
That's why I think that whole I'm my brother's keeper, he's doing that for Hillary, basically, because you got to keep people thinking that those Democrats have got your best interest in their heart.
Yes, they're doing something right. And that's what I tell black people, too. When you see them telling us to do this and do that, when has this country ever done anything that's going to benefit black people? So if you see
there's a few things that have happened for that purpose, but it wasn't by the people that that you vote for primarily as black people. That's the bottom line. It was not because see when you had the black business loans and you had affirmative action, it was so that you could build up your community.
What happened
is you had the money start pouring into your communities. But then you had the modern-day Jim Crow, which I say is when they destroyed those programs and said they were ineffective, but they weren't. You had a very vibrant black community when you first initiated some of those things, and that came up under Richard Milhouse Nixon. I hate to say that. Okay, but nobody wants, you know, if it's Covina Man or anybody else was on there, nobody remembers that Johnson made the statement, these uppity niggas are making too much noise out here. We have to give them something to make them be quiet. Mm. Not enough to help, but we got to keep them quiet.
That's what he said.
Now,
and the black, and the black leaders helped them all along the way. The churches, especially.
Well, they did partially, but here's the thing, because he said civil rights. That was it. But the thing is, it's just like you got now hope and change.
Yeah.
And because it's a black face, you don't think that he couldn't possibly not mean what he's saying to me.
Uh-huh.
Because he's black. And here's the thing. This man has an agenda. For the left, it has nothing to do with him being born black in America and this, that. He was born black in Hawaii.
Yep.
Hawaii is not mainland America. It is not the same politics.
Yeah, he came here when he was a grown man.
Absolutely. And not only that, he never had a poor day in his life.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Not once.
Nope. Not one. And see, that's the thing, too, is somebody was just saying in the chat room, and that's where my documentary starts at, is like you were just saying, we got to do something to shut them up. I start with, you know, when there was a mass exodus from the home of black men when these government programs came around.
Absolutely.
Because they said, if we will send you to school, we will give you money, we'll take care of your kids, we will put them in daycare, we're going to give you school stamps or somewhere to stay, we're going to do all these things. But guess what? You better not have a man in that house. He better not live there. We better not know about it. And they will come to your home at any time. And if you had a man there or a man staying there, you will be cut off. So
absolutely.
Absolutely. And then think about the black men. They said, well, dang, you know, it was very hard to get a job or to take care of a family. So a lot of black men left because of that, so that their women and their kids could get assistance because he couldn't stay there.
And you had
young
women there to make sure they could get jobs.
Can I make a comment
on that? Yeah, go ahead, sir.
It's funny she says that that's how the system was, and that is something my own mother said to me when I had needed her. I had asked her help when I had moved in my first apartment, and she was like, because you have a man in that house, I'm not going to help you. And I think that's so deep. I think that's so deep that's how the system is. And my own mother told me that. So
when all these programs got started, you couldn't get a black man couldn't get a job because of all these Democratic controlled unions that were preventing them from getting jobs.
Mm-hmm. And see, when you take the father out the home,
that documentary.
We're now about, I say about three generations, if not more, deep into a single mother culture in the black community. Because, you know, a lot of this started in the late 60s, and it just went on and on and on. So now in 2014, we're seeing the results of people who didn't have a father. They mama didn't have a father, and their grandma didn't have a father, you know, a man in the home, a husband, any sound, solid foundation. So you're dealing with all these people who had no idea of a father. We got all these black men in prison. We got a whole lot of black men gay. So when you take the man out of the situation, the family begins to collapse because you don't have that balance anymore. And they're pushing black women to say, you're a strong black woman.
We're about to go home here, and then Tracy and them will be back. We'll be back tomorrow, so we're going to close this off. Now, you guys can talk on the phone if you want to. Everybody will be a little while longer, but we're going to cut out of here. But that's exactly it. They did it on purpose, and we need to start realizing that and start quit being a fool to keep that vicious cycle going. It's still in effect, and we need to get rid of it. Afternoons, mornings with Tracy and friends. We'll see you tomorrow. Love everybody. God bless.
God bless.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're saying you wanted to. You're in the process of making a documentary.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. What kind of help do you need? Because you're saying the same exact thing that I've been saying for a number of years now.
Yeah, that's what I like to say. Yeah, I would love to be able to donate if I could.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. I'll give you my Facebook, and I'll give you – and actually, if you want to look at some of the videos I did, and they stirred up a little bit so far with people's reaction, but I'll give you my YouTube, too, and you can see on there. And you can just leave me a message if you want to leave your information, or and I'll, you know, go from there. Right now, I have a friend who's a documentarian in Atlanta. So I'm trying to get with him right now to get off the ground because he's done a lot of really good documentaries. So that's where I'm at right now. I'm just kind of building on my research. I'm putting everything together. But this needs to be done. I mean, it needs to be done because nobody's really talking about it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what's your Facebook?
Renee Bass, RENEEBASS. And then my YouTube is MRS Mrs. Legit LEGIT. Excuse me, 816.
Okay. You're self-employed, right?
Yes.
Okay, because it's got one and it's got two of them. That is a white female.
Well, that's not me. That's not me.
Okay, R-E-N-N-E, R-E-N-E-E.
No, yeah, one N.
One in.
Mm-hmm. Please. Okay. And then BASS.
Let's try that again. Okay.
Or you can tell me yours and I can send you a message because I'm on there right now.
Okay, it's Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T, Williams.
Williams, okay. Does it
and
say
you said
Garrett Williams? Does it, one says Eureka Union High School, think a self-employed Boeing flight test.
My page has got the picture with the I'm a jarhead. I have a pair of dress blues on.
Let's see.
And you said your YouTube channel is Mrs. Legit 316?
816.
816.
Yeah, and it's all one, all together.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really right now. I'm trying to get everything together. And when I did the video to put out there because I was just so fed up. You know what I mean? Because we're had like in the rap arena. You know, now it's all the rappers. They wearing skirts. They're wearing dresses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the heck? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm like, what is wrong with y'all? Y'all lost y'all minds?
Yeah.
Hey, did you see Omar Epps went on The View, and he had a black leather skirt on. I'm like, what the heck is this?
Yep. And this is what I told people, you know. I said, you don't see. And people were trying to tell me, well, it's just a fashion statement. It's just a trend. Just like back in the day, you know, they wore certain things that look feminine. But what I tell people is, I understand that, but at the same time, we have a massive attack on black male sexuality in general. So it would be different if this was just one small segment. But we have it hitting us from every angle. So it's important as well in the fashion and what these men are wearing because black men look up to them, you know, unfortunately. A lot of times these are their role models for young black men.
And then you have in the sports field, you have Michael Sam, you have Jason Collins, and every day it's been a few other ones that are gay. And basketball and football are heavily dominated sports by black men, heavily watched by black men. And why is it that when they came out, I mean, they had huge publicity. They put it everywhere, on every, you know, all over the TV, big interviews, in the morning shows, all over the Internet. You know, they even did a study on Twitter about people's reaction to Michael Sam coming out. But yet people tell me there's no agenda, gay agenda. Especially there's no target to a feminized black man. I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay. Well, have you ever heard of a guy named Hassani Pettiford?
I have, but I don't know much about, but I've heard the name.
He wrote a book, and I've got it right here in my hand. It's called Why We Hate Black Women.
Okay.
And it's called Deconstructing the Paradox of Black Female Masculinity.
I'm gonna look that up.
And it's a good book. He also came out with another book, Why We Hate Black Men, as well.
Mm, okay.
But it has a pretty good insight of, you know, why and how it this happens. I was involved with Head Start for a number of years and was a part of a forum. And in that forum, some questions were raised and opinions were made. But I got up and I told them, I said, listen, there is no way a woman can effectively raise a male child.
Thank you.
And I just want to say, ma'am, don't take that in a disrespectful way. I'm not saying
as
a mother and a nurturer, you can't do your job. You do wonderful jobs at doing that. But at some point, a young boy reaches a level of maturity where he needs a man to take over.
Exactly. And man, I almost had to call in security because them women were getting ready to bust me up in there.
I bet you did. Because I got some resistance. I don't watch TV, really. I try to stay as much away from TV. So I do listen to Block Talk quite a bit. And they had a show, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, with black women talking about single mothers and so on and so forth. And it's a show ran by black women for black women. And I called in, and I said some of the things I said. Well, oh, my gosh, the reaction, you know, when I talked about single mothers. And that was actually the topic of the show, can a woman raise a man? And after call, before me, they were saying, yes, she can't, you know, and it was mothers. I raised my three boys by myself, this, that, and the other. And then it was even men calling in saying, yeah, you know, you can raise a man. And I called in and I said, no, you cannot. Because there's a certain level, like you said, there's a threshold there where a woman cannot tell you about what's going on with you. But only another man can, yeah.
I mean, what I was going to say is the fact that women are emotional women, creatures. That's what you're not, and I respect that. I respect that. That's what makes women so great. But that's why some of these young boys is growing up so emotional, ready to shoot you over something petty.
Yes, Lord, yes. Yep. It all feeds into each other.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, there is very, very, I mean, You try and say things and do things in the right manner and try and explain it to them, and they get pretty upset with you. I mean, I'm not being disrespectful. I'm not trying to say that there's something wrong with the way you're raising your kid, but it gets to a point when, no, certain things you cannot tell that male child because he's not going to hear it from you.
Can I have a quick comment? I hear people talk all the time. And maybe I was just raised different or I have a different perception. But growing up, I remember the drug dealing. I have family members that were drug users. The shooting, the killing. I knew so many people that passed away throughout my whole, from my elementary school life till now. And I also knew girls who had babies from, like, the youngest girl. I didn't know her. But she was, like, in fifth grade. And then between then, I knew girls who were, like, in seventh grade and up that had babies. and I'm only 30, and their children are like, so, like, I'm just saying, like, every life is deception because everything everybody's talking about now is just a cycle, because I've seen the same exact thing growing up in my year. So a lot of stuff is not really so surprising or so shocking to me. You know, people killing one another and all that. Maybe I'm desensitized or whatever people want to say. Yeah. But I think that's the case. I think that's just a life that I saw growing up.
But you know what?
I'm not in street life, but I'm just saying, like, I don't see nothing new under the sun with what people are doing now. I think
the social
networking world is making people more loudmouths and punks and stuff like that and causing more trouble than ever. But other than that, I don't see the difference.
But see, what you just said is part of it. You know what I'm saying? And I'm with you because we're in the same age range. So it's been going on a long time. But also, you know, like you said, you're desensitized. And see, that's the way they get us. Because once you get desensitized, then you no longer get outraged about things that's wrong. You begin to see it as, oh, it's normal. This is the regular thing that's happening. And so then it's accustomed to it, and it's just there. You know,
getting worse. I was called bougie growing up. You know why I was called bougie? Because my dad was in the house.
Me too. Me too.
That's it.
Me too.
We wasn't rich.
Nope. And my parents have been married for 34 years as of last month. Biological father, my siblings' biological father, our mother and father, you know, and they've been together since they were, you know, like 20, 21 or whatever. And people, you know, that's what I consistently heard growing up. That's a real daddy and this and that. They married this man. And it's sad. It's really, really sad.
Who's that man dropping you off of school every day? You know? I'm like, that's my dad.
Right. And people looked at you like you said, me too. Oh, you bougie. You think you all that and this and that. But see, a lot of people never had a father in the home. So they don't know the balance it brings to a household. They don't know the security that you feel as a child with a father there. You feel more secure. I'm sorry, you do. You feel more like, okay.
Yeah, but for me, even though, you know, it was my stepfather, whatever, and I had a father in the household, my mother was very dominating. Like, everything was what she said. I mean, don't get me wrong. My mother is a business owner. She does her thing. She work, whatever. But, you know, I still see that, too. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He was younger than her, and he really didn't have a voice like that in the house. He had his say, but I understand now, like, he don't really care. He only care about his own kids. He don't care about me. So, like, you know, that's just my perception. Like, I just, with a lot of stuff, it just doesn't, it's nothing new to me. I mean, I've heard it all before. I've seen it all before.
Yeah, that's why I believe. If you're going to date a woman that has children, if you're not willing to accept those children as your own, you need to move on.
Yeah. But see, women are bringing in men, and like I told you when I called this show, and I put it out there, but women are bringing men into their homes that don't give a damn about their kids. They don't care. That's why a lot of these kids are getting touched on and abused, and the stepdaddy or the mama's boyfriend is messing with the little daughters and stuff because they don't give a damn about them kids. I don't care what nobody say. You tend to always gonna love your own more than you love somebody else. That's just a part of it because this person came from my DNA, from me. This is a part of me. So I'm not saying that people can't love, you know, I'm not saying that you can't love another child completely and wholeheartedly and unconditionally. But it's in today's society, in the black community, it's not really like that. And some of these mamas are having boyfriends in and out, you know.
Mm-hmm. And men and women nowadays need to understand that. If you're not willing to make that commitment, then move on. Don't do that to the kids.
Exactly. And I've looked at a bunch of stories about where the stepdaddy, the mama's boyfriend molested the little boys. And it's like because they let these men in the house and then they give them a title, well, you the man now. And they have these kids.
And already, and again, he feel like, that ain't my daughter. So if I wanted to touch on her, do so she wanted it anyway, or she this or she that, there's no responsibility there. Because they looking at, well, I'm with the mama. They don't care about the kids for real. You know, it's just terrible.
That falls on the mother. That falls on the mother, because the situation with Dolezy, the girls are telling, the mother blame her. Like, there's a lot with that. It's a lot with that stuff.
Yeah.
Some families turn a blind eye. They know what's going on. It's a lot of stuff with that.
And that's what we always do in the black community. We are, I call us reactors and not proactors. Because we never try to prevent things from happening. I ain't going to say never, but a lot of us don't try to prevent things from happening. But as soon as it happens, we ready to go out. We ready to hurt somebody. We ready to cut them out.
That's that progressive liberal democratic influence that makes us think like that.
Yep. You know, we wait till it gets so bad that you ain't got no choice but to do something or say something about it. You know, that's how we get on every issue with the gangs and the boys killing each other. We got to wait till it gets so bad to say something.
And then when they ban guns, meanwhile, you have an old woman who lives by herself in a bad community. They don't want her to have a gun.
Nope.
That's crazy.
And it's a guy, Tariq Nasheed, who I listen to, and I've been, you know, somewhat a follower or a supporter of him for some years. And he was talking about that, and he was saying, black people, do y'all realize these people, these white people, and not all white people, but I'm just saying, they're out here, they have their guns. They have guns. they have it appropriately, legally, they have guns. And they ready to use them.
They ain't killing each other with their guns.
Oh, it's like a whole cult with the gun thing. My stepfather's actually a certified gunsmither, and he's going, and he's the only black man in that class. He's the only he's the only black man. But see, that's how he was raised from his father. He grew up with his father, and his father grew up with his father. And that's just something with the men in the family they have done, is just with guns. So he basically, he can build guns, and he can make bullets and stuff.
Thank you. My grandfather was the same way. He fought in World War II. I mean, there was guns all over the place.
Right.
Me and my sister knew.
Right. So he knows, but he says all the time, he says, you know, they make their comments and stuff in there. They try to make their little racist comments and stuff. And he look at them like, I don't do that shit. You know, he don't take no offense. He just tell them straight up, like, I don't be doing that shit. Do you see me looking like that? Do you, you know, he defends himself. But he's the only black man, and he's going to go out to, I think, Nevada somewhere, and they're going to do something. But it's like a whole culture with that. I mean, Zimmerman had a gun show in Florida. I mean,
and see, they have militias. They have militias that's already together, okay? They just under the radar. They have militias, and which means when, quote-unquote, martial law and all that stuff go into effect, they ready to come out and, quote-unquote, be the police for the situation. And these people already have guns. They're legal guns. They know how to use them. And we have nothing because we run around here killing each other.
Shooting from the hip.
Yep.
Wonder why the bullet ricocheted and killed an innocent bystander.
Yep, emotional. That's all, because it's nothing but women. It's nothing but women, not nothing, but it's a bunch of women running households. And like I tell people, it takes two people to make a child. Why would we not think it should take two people to raise a child?
In all reality,
why do we not think that?
In all reality, even if daddy is there, even if he has a strong part in the household, as a mother, you still do every damn thing. Even if you think that you're not, when you got to handle those children, when you got to handle that house, it's you that does that. It's you that do the decorating. It's you that do everything in all reality. So, I mean, but the single mother part, I can't relate to that, because I've been with this man for a long time, and we broke up for, like, what, 2 years? But even then, he was still involved in his child's life.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It's a difference. And maybe the person who on the phone who know what I'm saying. But it's still a difference when you have a presence of the man in the home. And even though, you know, like you said, the moms do a lot of things, but when you have a father there, his influence is around the house, at least in my situation. And the thing about it is,
you know, now these people are seeing no interaction with men. So when you see your daddy there every day, you see him getting up in the morning, going to work. You see him coming home from work. If it's something you need, you can go in there, ask him. You can see him at any time you want to. That impacts a child's life versus having, you know, now we have weekend fathers or summer fathers or sometime fathers. It's not the same thing. And black women, I feel like, make a lot of excuses about it, and so do the black men. They say, well, I give my boys it, and I make sure they just may that. But it's a difference when you have family foundation.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You got to teach
your boys, too, though.
That's why a lot of women, a lot of men I've heard have issues where they have ended relationships because when they have stepped in and tried to discipline children and be a father and step in, the mother rejects it because she hasn't had a father. Now, don't get me wrong. Some men do OD with their discipline, and the mother knows how. See, if you had a father in your life, you know what level of discipline is discipline and knowing when to step in and when to say something to that man. But see, the woman who didn't have that father or that man in her life, she's just yelling, she's screaming, she's defending the boy, she's doing something opposite than what he did, though he know why he did to that child.
And so, as a father, you gotta teach kids too. Like me, boys in my family, I got them changing flat tires, I got them helping me change oil, doing stuff, you know, light fixture busted out, get up there, boy, you're gonna do that. When I come over to the house to help, my name's Eric.
Let me tell you what they pushing on the kids now. This is what they pushing on the kids on now. They pushing them to be gender neutral. So no longer are they saying that, like you said, you have them changing tires and you have them doing this and that. Well, they saying now a boy shouldn't have to do that. A boy don't have to do that. If a child is born a male, they can then say, I'm a woman. I feel like a woman, and this is what I'm going to be. And they should be looked at as that. You should call them that. And you should consider them a woman like any other woman in this world. And this is what they're telling these young kids. And they have this ideal that gender means nothing, that, you know, like you said, changing tires and stuff. Boys don't have to do that. They don't have to learn none of that. You know, and sadly, a lot of boys in the black community, their idols now are Beyonce, Rihanna, Ciara. These are their idols.
Hold on.
I have to say something to that. I'm a little shaky with that because I have a boy that's 2 years old, and he knows when he's watching the girl. He knows what girl stuff is. I don't have to tell him that. He knows, like, he had sisters playing with dolls, and he quickly gave it to his sister because he knows daddy didn't want him playing with that. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to say for other people's children. My son is a boy, and he knows he's a boy, and he does boy things. And he does
girl things.
But
see, like you said, y'all encourage it.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. But that's just, like you said, you know his daddy don't, he know his daddy don't want him doing it.
Right. But the thing is, with him, like his sister, I don't play. I tell her, don't put him in dresses. Don't play with him like that. Even though he knows, and I'm telling you this, I'm serious. Even though as a little baby, he will take that stuff off of him. You understand? Because he does like to dress up. But both my children like to dress up, but he wears stuff that his daddy would wear or what men wear. So I question the parents of the children.
I'm 42 years old. I'm 42 years old. I can't remember the last time I saw a teenage black boy mowing the lawn, raking leaves, putting out mulch. When I was 12 years old, I was pushing a lawnmower. And back then, lawnmowers didn't have the self-propelled motors on them. They pull themselves. You had to push that mug. We had 2 acres.
Yep.
If I wanted brand new tennis shoes, I better get my butt out there and cut that grass.
Yep.
Yeah, my husband, he had to work. He had to work for everything he wanted while he was in high school. Jordans, anything. He worked his whole school year.
Not any longer, because see, what's happening on that end is with a lot of the single parent homes, the mama's working her butt off because she's trying to
take care of
her son. What I'm saying? Right, she's trying to take care of everything going on, and I feel like because of that, sometimes these mothers will buy these kids these shoes because they feel, you know what I'm saying, they feel bad because maybe they don't spend enough time with them, or maybe the father's not in the home. So it's like kids are being given things more because of an emotional reaction from the mother for not having certain things for the child. So they're giving the boy these shoes, they give them this, and they take it for granted. And they don't, they're not prepared when they get in the world.
Oh, let me tell you, that is true. That is true. Because when me and my daughter's father wasn't together, I began to feel guilty about leaving him. And I found myself buying her stuff, buying all this expensive stuff and doing all these things because I felt guilty that her father wasn't there and I knew how much she loved her dad. So imagine a woman with more children than that. You understand? Or different baby fathers. Like, that's where the compassion comes in for me. Like, I could imagine what they're feeling because I just remember feeling that once with my little girl who was, maybe 3 or 4 at the time. But I'm just saying, like, that's really what's going on. But it's crippling these children, man. It's sad because it's crippling them. And you know what? They don't even treat their daughters like that. Like, it's crazy.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And then you have a bunch of men that get out here that's basically mama's boys. They don't know how to run a household as a man. They don't know how to do things as a man. And they think the woman is supposed to take care of them because they've always been in a position of a woman taking care of them.
A woman doing everything.
Thank you. You're absolutely right. Because I got grown men my age that ask me how to do things. They should know how to do it themselves.
Woo. Yes. Yep. And they get with a woman. A lot of these dudes, you know, as a real man, I'm sure you can say, you don't want a woman to take care of you. You probably don't feel comfortable for a woman to be, you know, doing everything for you and taking care of you like you damn near her kid.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but it's men who feel comfortable. They happy. That's what they want. That's what they want.
And you got, it's psychological, because we psychological, because then you got the females who's doing it. You got the females who's fulfilling that for them because, you know, it's everything is just all. It's real interesting to see, but I feel like the breaking up of the black families is what caused a lot of this craziness.
And if you look at white people,
other cultures, especially black immigrants, they have just as much drama as we do. But one thing about them is they're good at hiding it, and they're good at still sticking together and sticking with their families, and they're good at hiding it. Because, you know, people want to argue and say, oh, they have culture. No. They have a lot of secrets and stuff that be going on in their family just as out as our families does, but they have
a
way of hiding it.
They have an instinct of survival. You know what I mean? They have an attitude that all the Jews and all the Italians all like each other, and they all do, but that ain't the case. Half of them hate each other's guts, but they understand at the end of the day it's all about money. So let's
say out
and just
pay. It's about my people. See, people from other cultures, see, they have pride in their language and their people and they're from. And you're not going to shame us. I don't care who you are. You're not going to put a name on us. And they're very much about that. So though this is going on, this is still my family, and I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to put that out there. You know, that black people are more raw dog. Like, look, this is what's going on. This needs to be fixed. This needs to be said. More critical, more judgmental. But the cultures, I'm not saying they're not, but they're not going to let you expose their culture. Because that's
how
they
like.
But see, this is what black people do.
Yeah,
we don't listen to other black people. We don't care. Right. We don't ever listen to another black person. Now let a white person come and tell us the very same thing, and we will be like, "Oh, really? Oh, okay." And we'll take it and we'll believe it. But another black person, we have no trust for them, and they could be telling us right. I mean, they could be telling us everything we need to know, and we will doubt them. You lying? That's not true. Uh-uh. You don't know what you're talking about. But let a white person say it. Oh. It's
fact. Mm-hmm. Instead of saying, like, for example, let's take a church for example. We ain't got no church in our neighborhood. I'm going to agree with you. You may not agree with me. But they'll get together and build themselves a church. We'll sit there and argue about it and then beg somebody else to come build it for us.
Because we look for our white daddy, so to speak.
Right.
We look for white daddy.
It's like Malcolm X said. How can we beg the white man for stuff and then get mad at them when they tell us what to do with it, you know?
Yep. And like Tariq said, he said if they wanted to really hurt us tomorrow, if they really, really wanted to really hurt us, they could. He said, because if they did, he cracked me up.
Yeah.
He said, a lot of the black community is one EBT swipe away from having nothing. Because if they cut all them programs off, baby, it's woof.
It's over.
It's over.
And you think Jay-Z and Beyonce will come and help you?
It's not
hell no.
It's not just for black people. See, I don't know where you guys live at. But
no, I'm not saying that either.
I'm from the South, and I've gotten a big culture shock coming here in the city. But I've also learned a lot, and I'm telling you, these immigrants, they are
mm-hmm.
in programs. These immigrants are really making it happen with those programs. It's a stepping stool for them. Something my mom always says, use it as a stepping stool. So
right.
these programs, they're not just quote-unquote black people. They're other people, even Jewish people, have Section 8 housing. All
mm-hmm.
kind of cultures of people are in these programs. They're not telling you that. But for those of us that just know black and white, we don't know nothing about that. So we think we don't know anything about that. So we think it's just us, but that's not the case.
And let me tell you, they have all kind of welfare programs for different races and for white people. But guess what? They won't call it welfare. They call it something else. They come up with some other name. Yeah.
I can tell you some programs. I had did one. It was called WEP. All you had to do was work 20 hours a week, even if it's an internship job, and they will help you get your transportation money, and they will pay for your children's daycare. Well, I had one child, and they will pay for your child's daycare. There's another program where you go into it and you get a job. I think it's called America Work. And after you get once you get a job through social service, like, let's say you stay at a job in, like, 3 months, so you get, like, a $50 check,
mm-hmm.
6 months, you get promoted. You get money for staying at the job, like, staying at the job for a very long time. So, yes, there's
mm-hmm.
plenty of programs I think will be beneficial to the community, that is beneficial to the community. But you know what? A lot of people don't know about it. You know, they
but
got
one thing we
got
to remember.
For their food stamp money. They got people out here going to school for food stamp money. And they're not getting
yeah.
no credit. Like, a lot of people don't know anything about these programs.
Nope. And the thing we have to remember, though, too, with these programs is you're never going to get rich. Okay? Just know that. You're never going to get rich. You're never going to get financially comfortable because they're only going to give you enough to keep you alive, basically. They're going to keep you enough to cover some of the utilities and your food and this and that. But as far as you coming up in life and you advancing, that's not going to happen under these programs. And the sad part about it is it's a lot of folks, you know, of different races, but I care about the black community. I'm going to keep it real with you. But it's a lot of black people, and they cool with that. That's fine. They don't want to necessarily have more in life. They comfortable where they at, which having just enough to get by and waiting on that every month for that EBT money to be on there and to get the assistance with the utilities. That's enough for them.
Yeah,
cool
some of them are, and they fly on it. I mean, you see up here in the city how fly, like, and I'm not going to lie, like, at these movies looking, and they be sitting here on the system or doing some little under-the-table job, and
mm-hmm.
I'm like, damn, I don't even look fly like this, and I'm working. Like, this is
right.
crazy. But, you know, that's just how it is. They go to work. Half the time, some of them don't even work. Like I've experienced it all, man. I've experienced
yeah,
it all.
And people don't realize, man, that there's a lot of jobs out there you can do. I mean, you gotta teach yourself something, a skill. Plumbers can make about $150,000 a year if they know what they're doing.
Yeah, but you know what? Too, it's a lot of. You see, this is the trick about New York City, and I feel bad for a lot of Black Americans here. They don't see the hustle. They don't see it. And a lot of them will tell you that there are jobs where they'll hire someone who's an immigrant faster than they will hire you who's American. So, you know, you have a lot of that kind of stuff going on out here as well.
But, see, it's not a lack of jobs. See, that's the thing. There's not a lack of jobs. There's a lack of people with the training and the education for the jobs that are out here now because so many jobs are in the tech world and the IT thing and so much of it is technology and computerized. In the black community, we are light years behind the society when it comes to those things. And our black children in schools, a lot of times they schools are lackluster in technology and computers. They, a lot of times, they're on antiquated computer programs and stuff like that. And so we're already behind in that arena, and then the schools are not preparing them for what fields are popular, what fields are going to be lucrative, what fields are going to get them to financial stability and longevity. They're not preparing those kids for that. They basically preparing them to do nothing.
Oh, no, but also you got to have grants for that stuff. For certain, like if I wanted to put, let's say, a magazine program at the school, I got to have a grant for that. Like my daughter's school, they just now they're getting laptops, and then there's going to be a laptop room in there. They have to get money for that. And then we're also a victim of Sandy over here, so the school lost a lot of money. And if more students leave that school who have moved, that school is really going to lose a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
If parents had to encourage their kids to use this technology to better themselves, most of these kids nowadays have the technology. But what they're doing with it, they record themselves fighting and putting it on World Star Hip Hop.
Well, those, those are teenagers and grown adults doing that. But it's about the parent. I have to say that again. My children are six, and I monitor them. Like I don't know. A lot of these parents are giving their children cell phones. They're allowing them on Facebook. I got little cousins that are like 12 to 15 on Facebook. My child's not going to be on no social network at that age. No way.
But see, just from talking to you, I can tell that you are a conscious mother, you are a conscious parent about what's going on. Well, you just even made the comment that your little boy knows to take that stuff off. He don't feel comfortable in that. You know what I'm saying? That says a lot about you as a mother. But like, it's a lot of them out here who don't even think like that. They don't care. They don't even pay attention to what the kids are doing. You know what I'm saying? And then when the kid gets shot or killed, they the main one out here, my baby, and crying and all over TV. And, of course, you're hurt because you lost your child. But a lot of times we're allowing our children to be in situations they shouldn't even be in.
Well, let me tell you what happened out here recently with the school. You know, I noticed that if a teacher was to tell a parent that their child did something, and this comes from black people with the judgment and the criticism, they can't take criticism because of all the judgment and the craziness, but if a teacher was to say something to that parent would turn the teacher out and not handle it like a mature adult. Just recently, these two kids got in a fight, and it's not about the kid and the parents end up fighting. You know, like, what the hell? You know, it's stuff like that because it's because of the hurt, because of the judgment, the criticism, and all the stuff that comes in with the community. And this is why people can't even sit down as civilized adults and have a conversation. I had a long time ago, I had a woman come to me and say, my daughter said your daughter took her dollar. The little girl was pretty much lying to the mother, and the mother was just listening to the foolishness and believing her. And I'm like, what are you talking about? My daughter took her dollar.
It's like people treat their kids like cars. You know, my car is nicer than yours. My car is cleaner than yours. My car is shinier. I whack my car more than yours.
Man, let me tell you, teachers will tell you, the children that dress the best are the worst behaved children in the class.
Absolutely.
Those teachers will tell you straight up, those students, the hair done, all that done, looking clean, all that, those are the worst behaved students in the classroom.
And not only the worst behaved, but the I ain't going to say the dumbest, but a lot of times the least intelligent, because they're riding by on a parent. It's being pushed that they are parents, but they don't have nothing up in their head.
Yep. Yep.
And how pathetic is it? How can you tell your child something, which you were just saying? How can you tell your child something when you up here fighting? How can you tell your child to not go out and be fighting people and doing this and doing that, or going out here cursing people or having respect? How can you teach your child that? Not that some people are doing it anyway, but how can you teach your child that or expect them to know that? And you fighting grown-ups.
You can wash your car all you want. If you don't take care of the engine, it ain't going to run right.
Yeah, the little boy hit the woman. That's what I'm trying to tell you. The little boy who fought the girl, he hit the mother. The girl he fought, he then hit the girl's mother. That's how it was real disrespectful, you know? And he hit the girl's mother, and that's how the fight broke out so crazy. I didn't see
But at the end of the day, you an adult, though. You know what I'm saying? You are an adult. And where is his mama saying something if he hit a woman? His mama should have been in his butt.
Right, but that's the thing out here. You know, this is the mentality, because I remember my neighbor told me how her son, listen to this, her son came in the neighborhood with a new girlfriend. And so these girls, the ex-girlfriend jumped the new girlfriend.
Oh, gosh.
And the ex-girlfriend hit her son, and then her daughter fought the girl. And I'm like, I'm talking to my husband about that. He's just like, oh, that's the street. That's how it is, because that's just how he is. And I'm like, I didn't grow up like that. I didn't see stuff like that. So I'm like, I'll be damned if my daughter tell me she's talking to some guy and some ex-girlfriend jumped her, and he did nothing. You understand what I'm saying? You want to see that boy in his mouth, like, you understand? And then I'm going to have to teach my daughter, like, that's not a man you need to be talking to. But this is the type of stuff that goes on.
And as a man, why are these girls so prolonged to fight like that? That's just not
ladylike.
Well,
that tells you where his lies is at. You understand? He's still messing. He's doing something, because if she can go that far and hit that girl, whatever the case may be, then that tells you something about his relationship with her. And that's why I said, like, you know, I'm just little things like that. And a lot of these mothers, a lot of times they don't have control over their teenage children, man. When you listen to them.
This is what it is, though, too. Like, when we talk about, and this, again, it's from my perspective and just, like, a lot of things that I've researched and different things, but we talk about boys not having a father in the home and a lot of the effect that's happening. So with these 70-plus percent of black women who are having children out of wedlock, or these kids that's being raised in just a single-parent home, this is girls, too. So it affects the girls differently. And so what's happening now with a lot of the girls who are in these homes and have no access to fathers or any image of what a man is in a home, they are building, one, disrespect toward men. They feel lack of respect toward men because they feel that towards their father. And so your father wasn't there, and that can build up a mistrust of men. That can build that up. And then a lot of times they see their mother in a very dominant position, because mama's running the house. Mama's telling everybody what to do. Mama's in charge of everything. So these girls get out here in life, and they in charge. They feel like this is what my mama did. This is what I see my mama do. My mama's very dominant. My mama's aggressive. Because you when you have to take on the role of two parents, you do. You know, you right. have to get to a certain level. And so the girls are picking that same behavior up. So when they go out here and they date boys or young men, that's why you will see a lot of girls, they will have the boys living off of them or living up in their house, because they're used to that thing of a woman being dominant, a woman running things, running over whoever else is around. And so these girls have no reverence for men or no real respect for men because they've never been shown that.
And the boys are the same way.
Let me share also with myself. I'll never forget this. My cousin suggested to me, first of all, my mother always was telling me to do my own thing and forget the father, this and that. And I was living in his home. And mind you, she was far away and she wasn't doing smack for me. The only person that was there for me was him and his family. So, you know, I didn't realize, I'm just making it quick, I didn't realize how much I let my mom get in my head and dominate me, and how selfish I was. I didn't let her have the baby. I took the baby around to my grandmother's house. I pretty much didn't even trust him with the baby. And he was like, yo, he said, y'all didn't let me do nothing. So when I would go down a block or whatever, y'all would get mad at me, but y'all wouldn't let me do anything. And one day he just got so mad, and I didn't even take it personal. I just humbled myself and listened to him. And I was like, you know what? Last night, get under the bus so much. Sometimes we don't even see that we do it to them. Sometimes we don't even see that we don't even allow them to be a man. Like, my mother complained about everything, you know, and then when we had broke up, she was like, one of my cousins was like, oh, go put him on child support. He'll pay your rent. I'm like, yo, I don't want to do that. I want to work. I want to go to school. What are you talking about? But this is the type of stuff that we're told. What if I wasn't conscious? What if I didn't have no type of sense of self or no self-worth? You know, I would have listened to that type of nonsense, and that's what's scary. That's what scares me, because I know there's other females that happened to them, young females that happened to them, and probably listened and didn't even realize that their relationship is ruined or their situation could be much better than what it is.
Thank you for saying that. Misery loves company.
Yep. Thank you for saying that, because your take on that, like you said, you didn't even realize how much your mother had got in your head to influence you about your father. You know what I'm saying? And that's what happens. That's why it's a lot of mom, your daddy ain't nothing. Your daddy this, your daddy that. Well, what woman was he with? Well, this, that, and the other. And they say this to their kids. And like you said, people, that's one of the things. We love our mothers. You know what I mean? We love our mothers so much in the black community. And we put our mothers up on a pedestal. And, like, for me, my mother is one of my best friends. And, you know, we put our mothers up so high. So even things that they say or do are negative, they still impact us. And so a lot of kids still hear their mama say this and that about their daddy. So when you do get around daddy, you have a mistrust of daddy. You're upset with daddy.
And for young boys, when they hear that, they have an issue with men in general. So when they see a young man who looks just like them bump into them by accident, they want to kill him. Smoke that fool.
Yep. Because he ain't nothing. And my daddy wasn't here. He ain't nothing. So this dude ain't nothing. So what about his life? And see, that's why there's a thing going on now, and somebody else was talking about it and had an article about it, but a lot of young black men in this generation now and they're either going thug, not all of them, but they're either going thug or going gay. And the reasons behind it are the same principles. Because the guys who are going thug, this man was saying he had to go to prison to find his father. And not his literal father, but a father figure, a man that actually talked to him and took time with him and taught him things. So a lot of these boys is going thug because this is where they see black men at. They see black men on the corner out here hustling or doing what they do. And as a man, you still crave to have that masculinity around you and to deal with other men. There's a certain part of you that's not going to be around. You don't want to be around women 24/7. And that's the same thing on the female side. So they see these men out here. This becomes their view of men. And they go out here and they get into that behavior. And it's not a good role model, but it becomes a male role model. Then you go over to the gay side, and the guys who are becoming gay, it's the same thing. But the difference is they still crave that masculinity. They're still lacking that masculinity that they never really got or had access to. So they're going into a lifestyle with nothing but other men. But, see, they've somewhat turned it into a sex. They've sexualized it in a different way. So now they've sexualized, to me, that need that they had that they never got. And see, they're getting it now by being in this lifestyle. So it's still on both ends. It's like the same thing.
Yeah, they see me with my pants pulled up out in my front yard doing some yard work. They walking down the street. They look at me like I'm crazy. Like what is you doing?
Yep.
Yeah, I actually realized, you know, growing up, I knew people who at least had a father, stepfather, at least a stepdad in a home. But coming here to the city, see, the city is a very different mentality, very selfish people from the southern mentality. And I can see that, like, there's really a high percentage of single mothers. And they're not just black women. These are just women of all cultures. Women are single and raising their children and raising their sons.
Mm-hmm.
Can't handle their kids. They don't look capable.
Well, white people, you still tend to see them, even when they be dirt poor, they be in trailer parks and stuff, you still tend to see them get married. You still tend to see them have a husband and wife,
even though they might be broken and no teeth or whatever the situation is, but you still tend to see them. Even look at Honey Boo Boo. They still, it's a still a mother and a father in that situation. And then even white people, if they get divorced, a lot of times if they get divorced, they'll still get remarried and have a husband. Because in the white community, it's still presented as, even though, you know, the single parent is just kind of being promoted across the board, but there's still a knowledge of it's best to have a mother and a father in the home. And white people know that. They know that and they acknowledge it. In the black community, we know it, but we don't want to acknowledge it because then we feel like that takes away from our mother and saying our mother wasn't good enough, and we don't want to say nothing against our mama. So then we, on our side, say, well, yeah, a woman can raise a man, and single mothers can do it all. So we denounce that part. And then that doesn't even push, that doesn't even encourage black men to get married. You know, there's no reflection for black men to want to marry a woman now. You can do everything with a woman before you commit to her. So why you want to commit?
My perception, whether what race it is, what I see up here is I see a high percentage of single mothers, no matter what culture, whether it's the Caribbean culture, whether it's Italian, whatever culture, even Asian, I see a high percentage of a lot of mothers who really are single and raising their children. You know, and these are cultures of people you wouldn't think so, but I've seen that more and more over the years, that these women are single, they're working and doing what they have to do, and they're raising their child. And most of the time, right, it's one child or two.
Right.
Though,
well, black women tend to have more.
Huh? Yeah, my phone about to die, y'all. It's been a good talk. I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay, I'm
going to
let y'all go, too. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.